This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
To the bathroom, and it turned out to be the elevator, and I don't really remember the rest.
I will post that picture. I have to get it from Josh, because my phone was dead for most of this, so I didn't get very many pictures. Josh got plenty. And yeah, it was like we were laughing about the fact that at one point Jerome and I were so drunk we peed in a glass elevator, and right as we walked into one without skipping a beat, both of us were like, fuck it, and just dropped trowel and started peeing, and fucking Josh was there to take pictures. So that I have a picture of.
Wow. I can only say this. When I was in Vegas the first time, a guy tried to get on the elevator, and he literally tried to start taking a shit in the middle of the elevator, and we kicked him off just in time.
That's probably
because as the doors were closing, he just like shit's just coming out of his ass all over the floor. But the guy was so, he literally was so drunk. Like he just, the doors open, he turns around and he takes his pants to his knees and starts squatting. And there's no time to react, so I just, like, kick him in the back as hard as I can before the doors close. And he's, like, he rolls on the ground in the fetal position, and shit's just coming out his ass. So I'm like, oh, my God. Dude, we just survived, like, a shit attack in an elevator. Like, that was a
shit attack.
Yeah, dude.
At least, luck. I mean, you know, this time it was me and fucking, just me and the, like, bachelor party guys, like, walking in, so I didn't care what they fucking thought.
Man, let's start this cast off.
We can talk about this shit on air. Fuck it.
We'll cut it in. What the fuck? There's your intro right there, folks.
Ta-da. No.
Ladies and gentlemen. Folks.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you scurvy cunts? I'm Kevin Meta.
I'm Maddie Studios.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta, bitches. We're back. Me and Maddie are together again.
Woo!
Last week, I didn't know what to do without Maddie. Thank God Robot Large stepped in and fucking tried to keep the shit on the rails as long as he could. But, man, nobody replaces Maddie.
No. I'm back. I've given birth to my Guatemalan River Spider babies. And to all those who were inquiring about them, they're fine.
$50 a piece.
Yeah, I sent them on their way, as many good fathers of Guatemalan River Spider babies knows that, you know, if they stay around, I'll eat them. So
yeah, well, you gotta, like, that's the thing. When you give birth to those fucking spider babies, you gotta like pass it along. Like, you had to go through it, so you need to make sure and get the rest of that whole litter of them out there so they can impregnate other people, so they have to go through it too.
That is essentially the wisdom that I imparted.
This is what we do on Heavy Meta. We pass it along, you know. We're like
a disease.
Yeah, kind of like a venereal disease. like, we want to spread the love to everybody. We love you SVU motherfuckers so much that we want to make sure that at some point one of you guys is going to have a weird spider baby. That's probably, then you're going to be related to Maddie. You know what? I'm going to come on the show and talk about it.
That's how it goes, man. I'm spreading my DNA in everybody's mouth. So, this has been an awesome week. Of course, I missed last week, and I've been in Boston for the week. So, man, shit, I'm coming back with this avalanche of fucking crazy MTG news. So we're going to get into it. And
because we talked about, like, zero magic on the last.
You know what? I got off the top. I got to give you props. It was a good episode. Listen to the whole thing. I think you guys did a good job. I surprisingly, Robot could contain you. I honestly thought you would just run roughshod right over him, and just like within the first 20 minutes, the Robot's just, he goes silent because he's like, what's the fuck?
He's like, God, fuck, I can't deal with these fucking people.
He's like, where's that dump button again?
Yeah, it's like babysitting your brother's kids. But no, like, I did run all over Robot and everybody else that was on the episode quite a few times, but I tried to let them have some time to talk, and Robot did a good job of reining it in. And actually, that motherfucker is bad. That guy had, like, as far as queuing people up,
oh, yeah.
Was, It wasn't just in the episode and being like, oh, hey, guys, we got to clear some out to get some new ones. It's like every time the topic would shift, he'd be like, oh, I got the perfect motherfucker to drop in right now.
I know.
And come in. And it's like, perfect.
You know what? And I knew you weren't doing that.
Oh, fuck. No, I wasn't doing that. Oh, I didn't even know what was happening half the time. Yeah.
So tonight, folks, we've got, I believe this is his first time on the show. I did guest on his show way back in the day. I think Kevy did too. So yep. We are, as we did, we, promised that he could.
This time, this motherfucker.
Yeah, it's time to return the favor.
It
took
a
little
while.
It's
not because you like me. It's just because you said so.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Got it. Well,
I guess we signed the contract. We said that, all right, fine, you guys, you can come on, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, the worst intro ever.
You know what? How about this? There are many guests that we want on the show, but those that are of such a high quality and caliber,
we don't have an excuse, and we're
fine
not
wine.
Obligated to let all of them on. So,
yeah. You're done fucked up.
We got the man, the bearded legend himself, the ginger of all gingers, the king of that clan, the tap, the sack.
Oh, Ginger. I'm already fucking horny.
Houston.
That was a pretty good intro. I mean, if Chevy gets a boner from it, then like that's a winner.
Yeah,
he gets a boner from a lot of shit.
I'm already 12 o'clock high, son. It's fucking. I could put this bitch in my waistband.
Oh, man. So let's jump right into it, folks. We've got Vintage Masters. Looks like.
Talk about.
Yeah, I mean, let's start off with Vintage Masters. Hey, we all know I'm kind of skeptical on this thing, sounded expensive. We knew Power was going to be in it, and checking the spoilers, man, like, I did not think they'd throw Jace the Mind Sculptor and Force of Will in this fucking thing.
Oh, dude, I'm so behind because I didn't even look at the spoilers yet.
Oh, dude, it is, here, check this out. Like, it is, I guess what they're doing is they're like, look, we know this is expensive, but this looks like, to me, a huge community building push. They're like, fuck it, we need to drop this set. Is just going to be everything because it's almost like a fucking cube. It's so stupid.
It's a broken cube, basically.
It's going to be a shitty draft format cube, which is kind of like my hesitation about the whole thing. Yeah, all these cards look great. Like, wow, you know, Time Walk, fucking Demonic Tutor, everything. Like, this looks like great cards. This looks like a cube. The problem is, we're all looking at the fancy cards right now, all the splashy cards, all the big shit. What is all the common and uncommons going to be? Because then I see cards like, what is this, like, shitty, like, oh, I read Goblins is going to be a draft strategy for red. That doesn't necessarily sound really powerful, and I was kind of disappointed when I read the article. Like, oh, yeah, it's really good. It's taken down the draft. Well, you know, I'm not going to pay $10 a fucking pack or whatever this thing costs so I can draft fucking Goblins. In Vintage Masters?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I do
kind of not
say,
what I'm looking for.
No, I do have to say, though, they did a damn good job with the commons and uncommons in fucking Modern Masters. So I feel like they probably will, you know, they'll probably follow suit with this. I mean, they're not going to be fucking, oh, these are the most expensive commons ever. Like, they're going to make this draft format work because I think that, like...
But did you hear about that it's no cards? Yeah, but here's the thing. It's no cards that are legal in Modern.
Hmm.
So it's only the old shit. So you're going to get all the old, really shitty creatures. Which,
I mean, that's going to get weird, but I guarantee you, like, look at what they did with Modern Masters, and I don't know if it was completely by accident or not. I as much as we shit on Wizards a lot, you have to give them credit at times, especially when they finally earn it. I think that the reason... 90% of the people you ask them what your favorite draft format is, Modern Masters. I think they did that on purpose. Now, are they going to be able to take all those old shitty creatures and construct a similar draft format? Because, I mean, you got to look at, yeah, if we're getting all the old shitty creatures, we're getting all the old shitty creatures. But the difference is if they're in a world where, like,
the spells are so powerful that you don't need to play creatures, maybe.
Right. Well, I mean, there's don't need to play creatures, but, like, everybody's creatures are going to suck. Like, everybody's speakers are going to be, well, they're gonna be, like, less powered than what they are now. And I feel like they, especially because these cards have been around for so fucking long, that I guarantee you they've worked out the bugs. And I think it's going to be a good draft experience and people are going to fucking love it. Because otherwise, like, they didn't learn their lesson, which, I mean, of course, we've gone through this before.
I don't know if they learned
their lesson. Sometimes they don't. But, like, they didn't learn their lesson from Modern Masters and be like, man, if we make this an awesome draft format, people are going to fucking love it. People are going to be all about it, and they're going to want to fucking jump on, and they will pay the fucking $10 a pack to fucking...
What's Houston's take on the whole thing?
I think you know, all the cards in the cube, they got new art.
Yep.
All those that aren't modern legal, I feel like they're all going to be in here just to show off that art. So that's one thing.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not super pumped about it. I mean, like, I'll watch drafts of it and stuff. Like, I'll definitely not play it. I'm more interested in lowering some legacy prices. I know they're decently low on Moto, but, I mean, most are prices are decently low compared to...
So check this out.
I want to be able to get into Legacy on Moto. That'd be kind of cool.
And you know what? A lot of people have been asking me, like, what's going on, Matt? When are you going to tell us? Okay, here's the truth on the prices. Prices are coming down fast. This week is massive haircuts. We're talking 40% on all this shit. Force of Wills down 16%. It's down to $86. Underground C is down to 33. Tundra, like, everything is coming down. So, am I telling you to buy now? No. I think we honestly are going to need to see the full spoiler before any of these prices start to go anywhere. Right. I'm sure they're going to leave a couple of cards out and they're going to skyrocket. So that's going to be up to you. You got to be ready on the trigger finger. If you want to get into Vintage and Legacy, this will be the one time in the history
grab those of the fuckers. As soon as we find out they're not in the set, grab them before they shoot up.
Or not even that. Just if you want in it, like, I'm telling you, I'm thinking heavily about just, like, look, my plan, my grand plan in the scheme of everything is to own playset of everything in Magic one day. Who knows when, how many years it'll take. But this looks like an opportunity soon where I'm going to have to try and just find the cash to buy some of these things, because I don't think.
Have you seen the refinancing rates lately on your home, on your mortgage?
Well, I'm not going that far. I'm not trying to buy everything. I do want a play set of Force of Wills. I want to complete my dual land set for sure. I honestly do not think I'm going to try to go for power, because from what I'm hearing, I am not paying $500 for a fucking Moto card. I don't give a fuck what it is.
I mean, there's still special rares.
They're not even
mythics.
I mean, I still disagree with their whole super mythic rarity. I think you're defeating kind of the purpose of, like, what this is meant to do, but whatever. Hey, that's cool. Like, who cares, right? But you have to look at this.
I think I agree with the way that they're doing the Power 9. Like, it is what it is. It's the fucking Power 9, and you have to leave a little bit of that fucking mystique to it. And if you just put it in a fucking rare slot or a mythic
slot. Not a rare.
It in a mythic slot, that's still, like, I mean, you're not talking Tarmogoyf and Bob. You're talking, like, the fucking Power 9. You're talking Moxes and shit, you know, and those, even on Moto, to get fucking Vintage rolling on Moto, those still have to be rare as fuck. You know, this has to stay, Vintage has to stay a format where it's still fucking expensive to get into.
I guess.
Otherwise, it's just going to get, you know, it'll be like, oh, sweet, it's like Popper. You know, like.
That's extreme talk. Stop that, man. Everyone that takes an argument and goes to the extreme, no, you can't. Here's the thing. These cards, remember in Vintage too, right? You're only allowed one copy. You can't play a four of Black Lotus. So I can see that actually keeping the prices even higher, because you don't need four. So I probably find it'll be a couple of $100 for most pieces of power.
Wouldn't that be keeping them lower because you just need one?
I don't know. I think less people
aren't going to need four, so there's going to be less of a demand for them. I mean, there's still going to be a huge demand for them, but there'll be less of a demand because people only need one, and they're not going to spend fucking, like, if you look at it, you're like, okay, I need these fucking cards to play this deck, but I only can have one of them in it anyway. So I'm going to just fucking, I only need one, as opposed to, like, well, I'm going to play this fucking deck and I need to buy four of them. So I'm going to buy four, and that's going to be fucking, you know, that many times more, you know, four times more.
Here's my logic on it. You can't, because one, These are super mythic rares. So who is playing? I mean, besides Marshall, maybe, and freaking Marcel, who's going to play that much Vintage Masters to crack enough stuff to even hit one of these? And then once, like, if I pull a Black Lotus, I don't need another one, right? Because you only need one, like, if you're only allowed one. So it's, I think they're going to be very rare. I don't think a lot of bots are going to have a lot of stock. So there's going to be an initial wave where, you may be able to buy them, and then they're just going to dry up really quick. And yeah, you could see $300-$400. So
there's going to be a lot of assholes like me that are like, fuck this. I'm going to just buy a bunch of packs on Moto and not even draft them.
See,
I'm going to get one. And then I'll sell it.
It could. We have no metric. We have no metric. This has never been done before on Moto. So I don't really know what's going to happen. All I know is this. If you ever plan on ever playing it, I could not see a time where prices will be as low as they're gonna be the first week of these things start busting. And like, watch it,
if
I mean.
If they did this for like paper, I could understand this like special, you know, to keep them extra, extra rare, which you know, clearly they're not gonna do. But like, it's Moto. Like, just let people play the format. I don't know why anyone would root for the card to stay high. Like, I don't really. It's like, I guess when you can hold the card, you want to preserve that, like, oh my God, this is like the coolest card in the fucking world. But when it's on Moto, like, no one even likes foils on Moto because it's just a graphic. You know, like, a lot of that stuff is taken away. So, like,
why? No, I get that. Like, I get, the first time I had them
20 bucks. I don't care. Like, I just want to play.
No, I get that too. Like, the first time I played the Holiday Cube, I drafted a Lotus, and it was weird to be playing Magic with a Lotus. But at the same time, like, to me, it was like the same as if it was just like the proxy Lotus that I have in my cube. Like, you know, it's not holding an actual real one. It's just, you know, it's just a digital fucking version of it. And so really,
it's a bunch of money for art.
Right, and all that value, all the value that carries now is, it's not like a, you know, collectability sort of thing. It's not like, you know, keeping it in a glass case in your living room, you know, on top of your fucking TV or whatever. Like, I mean, now you're talking literally just the only reason to have it and the reason to spend money on it is to play that format. So the only way that they're going to make it worth it to, like, have that kind of fucking price tag on a fucking Lotus online is if they have, like, ridiculous payout events, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't think
you get paid. I don't even think you get paid in.
No, I mean when
in those packs, think you get M15.
No. What I'm saying is when it comes around, like when Vintage is actually a fucking thing on Moto, and like they start having, like, the only way that those cards could hold their value, the only reason people are going to pay that kind of money for a Moto version of a Lotus or a Moto version of a fucking Mox is so that they can play in events. It's not, there's no collectability.
No. See, well, no, there's no, I don't believe that. Well, you know what? I don't believe that. There's going to be some collectability, sure. But more speculation than collectability is what I worry about.
That's what I'm saying. But what the only thing that's going to drive that speculation is if there's a reason to have them. I mean,
yeah, if Vintage Masters succeeds not only in a fun draft format, but puts enough cards in the system where the prices are affordable. Say affordable in air quotes, so that we can actually play Vintage.
Yeah, well, like, and so you can fucking spend that kind of money on a Moto card, so you can play Vintage with me, and you can play Vintage matches in the fucking, like, casual room.
If
they actually have Vintage events.
Yes,
having Vintage, like, premier events, but again. It's like, okay, you got to look at the value-minded fucking, you know, every Magic player in the world besides me that just makes impulse purchases is a fucking, you know, it always looks at the fucking EV of everything. Now, if you could spend the money to play Modern or fucking, you know, okay, yeah, Pro Tour type stuff or like testing for fucking events, that's one thing.
I don't know, Kevy. I think you're wrong, dude. If you look at Marcel,
Why would you want to spend that kind of money for a fucking, for a piece of power on Moto? When if you're gonna get the same prize payout as if you just fucking bought your Goyfs and fucking play Jund and do Modern,
like, two friends walk up to you, one of them says, "I have power in real life." I'm like, "Fuck yeah, dude! I want to see it. I want to brush the swag off your shoulder." Another guy comes up and says, "I have power on Moto." I'm like, "I don't care."
Where,
you know what? That's a pretty good analogy right there.
A lot of even if you play a lot of Moto, like, you're like, cool, you have it in pixels. Like, I mean, it does the same thing.
Only thing that's going to make it worth that kind of fucking money, like a ridiculous amount of money.
The fact that you can touch it.
Well, no, the fact that you
can play with it, though.
If you can play with it on Moto, they have like premier events, but if they are higher fucking payout, if your average fucking deck, because of the fucking cards,
I agree.
Just like, all right, cool, you win a fucking, you know, modern fucking, you know, premier event, you get this, or just a modern fucking 8-4. But then we're also going to have legacy fucking 8-4s, but like, they're going to be like fucking 32-4s or whatever. Like, they increase the fucking.
Even make any sense, but I love it, Kevin. I love it.
Yes, it does. 32
second place gets fucking ball sacks in them.
Yeah, second place gets bullshit. But no, what I'm saying is, like,
I think you're right.
If they increase the prize payout for legacy events because they know that the card pool is so much more fucking expensive, then it might be worth it. Other than that, there's no reason to have them at all.
I gotta say, I've never heard that idea before, but I really like it. Like, that would encourage me to fucking build a legacy deck.
Why the fuck?
That's actually a really good idea.
You want to spend the money on a fucking legacy deck so that you can win the same amount of money or the same amount of packs that you could win off of your modern deck?
Yeah.
Or would you be more inclined to spend money on those packs to draft the shit, to get the fucking cards, to build a fucking deck, to jump into a legacy event if when it fired it fucking gave you like
double the payout?
Shit. Yeah.
That's sweet. I like it. Good idea, man.
Often. But, you know, I only have good ideas when I'm drinking and I don't remember.
Well, let's.
All right. That's why we're recording.
Exactly. Let's talk about a bit of a branch off this subject, but we got a few of the conspiracy cards that are actually going to be.
That is exactly what I've been trying to ask the whole time, but then I got sidetracked. Now, in these
words are hard.
In these spoilers, I keep seeing these fucking conspiracy cards. So is that like they're going to be in the Vintage Master set?
So yeah. So if you check out the Vintage,
is that what's going on here?
If you check out the Vintage Master spoiler on the mothership, so far we've got
choice.
Passandra Battle Seraph is in it. She was in a commander deck. You got Brago King Eternal. He's one of the new conspiracy cards. You got this new chick, Marchesa the Black Rose, and Selvala Explorer Returned. And it looks to me like they're featuring one card that has a unique keyword. So let's talk about a bit of these because they're pretty interesting. So let's take Brago here, King Eternal, because he's looks really interesting. So we're talking 2 mana, white and a blue, legendary creature spirit, flying, 2/4. Sounds pretty good. When he enters, or when he deals combat damage to a player, exile any number of target non-land permanents you control, return to the battlefield. So he blinks.
Wait,
so every
is
time he hits
in here?
Everything but your lands.
No, is it? Oh, I thought it was lands too, so you could get a ramp effect. That would be stupid broken.
No.
Well, I figured shit, it did it.
Stupid broken.
Anyways.
It would be a 1/1.
Yeah, exactly. It would probably cost 6 mana, because there's no way they'd let you blink your land. It's
six
cool.
1/0.
Yeah. I mean, he sounds really neat. I don't. Initially, I guess until, like, we'll see what happens in Vintage Masters, but in the draft format itself, I'm not terribly excited to even play with it in a deck unless I see some broken blinking ability here. I guess he blinks Dak Faden. Big fucking deal. I don't know.
It's really weird to incorporate the conspiracy cards and Vintage Masters.
Yeah,
the weirdest decision, like, of this whole episode.
He blink. You know what?
And that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Actually, oh yeah, you can't. You can't even, so even if you had a Black Lotus on the field, you tap it for mana, you can't use it, because it changes states. Because you return those cards to the battlefield under their control. Oh, is it instant or at the end of your turn?
What are you talking about?
What I'm trying to think is, so sometimes blink effects, they blink, but then they return all the blink cards at the end of your turn.
Yeah, no, this is an instant. This is instant.
So
it's
instant.
Ready for your second main phase.
So that's pretty sick. So you could probably cast something off a Black Lotus, tap it, blink it, add, you could get 6 mana. So there may be some pretty interesting effects with all the moxes and that. Time Vault, frickin', or not Time Vault, Memory Jar. Actually, it's Sax. I don't know. That's one interesting thing. Oh no, Time Vault isn't it.
Bring it back. That's weird.
Oh my god, I guess there is an infinite combo with Time Vault.
Oh goody.
That's
yay!
Fun. Hey, the Vintage Masters, that's what you're playing.
Like, they said, we're really going to put our fucking Moto client to the test and see if this works.
Oh, man, I'll tell you this. With the bugs in Moto right now, they better be fucking testing Vintage Masters right now. Don't you tell me they're like, oh, we're going to test it 3 days before we go live. Because there's going to be some fucked up interactions, man.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, it's like they went, all right, let's make a broken cube. We're going to call it Vintage Masters, and we're going to draft it. And then we're also going to make a conspiracy set, which is a whole set dedicated to multiplayer. And then we're going to put all those cards designed for multiplayer in the broken cube. Genius! No, not at all.
Like, we're goddamn geniuses! This sounds kind of like an episode of Heavy Meta. Like, it sounds like this is a great fucking idea!
I mean, reading the article on the cards, they all play very well one-on-one, supposedly. The multiplayer effect scales.
You get to vote.
but the whole Will of the Council thing is just like, it's almost like a Punisher mechanic at that point where you're just hoping they pick the wrong decision, which they won't. So I don't really like it in that thing.
Like, I mean, and of course the Will of the Council thing in two player, it's broken if they get to fucking vote first, because then you get to decide what's on the card. So, or, you know, you decide what happens, because it states if it fucking ties, then it this action happens. So it's like, basically, they get to decide what happens after you vote, because it's the voting starts with you, which
would doesn't sound terribly exciting to me.
Maybe I know why they did this. I know why they did this. All right, what? You ready? You ready? They're like, we have to add these conspiracy cards, mostly creatures, because all the creatures that are not in modern, that are in vintage, are fucking balls off.
You're right.
6/6 for a 2/2.
You're right.
Let's just put all these other random fucking creatures, and they're going to be better than we could have reprinted anyway.
100% right on that, yeah. Why else have Basad or the Angel? Yeah. Totally right, man. Good call.
And then we also make all the Commander players play Vintage Masters.
Exactly. Well, I heard a lot of them already talk.
Oh, good.
I was just going to say, I've heard a lot of buzz already about the new one, the Marchesa of the Black Rose, the Grixis one.
Fuck that one. I like awesome. That fucking battle. Yeah,
let me read this first. This one's really neat. So you got Marchesa, the Black Rose, 4 mana, so 1 blue, black, red, legendary creature, human wizard. Dethrone is your keyword, which is pretty interesting. It says, whenever this creature attacks the player with the most life or tied for the most life, put a 1/1 counter on it. Okay. Other creatures you control have Dethrone. Okay. Whenever a creature you control with a 1/1 counter on it dies, return that card to the battlefield under your control. So I guess it's like...
beginning of the next end step.
Yeah, at the beginning. Yeah.
So in
nothing dies and you get to kill the guy?
So in two-player games, if you're behind... then this bitch gets a 1/1 counter on her.
Yeah, and if you're not, she does nothing.
And if not, she does nothing. All other creatures have Dethrone, which is cool if you're going to just fucking swarm them in like a fucking Boros deck, except this is in Grixis colors. And you're paying 4 mana for a 3/3 that's going to just get butt-fucked. Like, I feel like this card is not very good.
This card is awesome.
Because I usually am, but
in Commander, this looks like a very cool.
Oh yeah, in Commander, cool definitely. Card.
Yeah, like I feel.
But can we say when you're drafting fucking Vintage Masters, you could go ahead and pass this?
No, I don't. I mean, set. I mean, 4 mana for
a 3/3 for 4 mana might be the most fucking powerful creature you can get in this set. Possibly, I don't know.
I mean. Okay, so if you look at it this way, if you're drafting Grixis, she's probably your only creature. You're probably having tons of counter magic, so...
That's true, so that clause that says other creatures you control have Dethrone is probably pretty much fucking pointless.
You know what? You changed my mind. Don't draft this high. This is garbage.
Oh, well, but wait. If you're drafting Grixis, there's a good chance, you know, you're not going to have any creatures, and you're just going to be playing...
Figured it out. Kevy, you know why it's good? You can pitch it to Force of Will.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know if it'll be good in this like vintage stuff, but I think it's a really powerful mechanic because it doesn't say like when this creature hits an opponent with the highest life total. It says when it attacks, so it gets this before the damage and before they block. So like that's pretty cool. And then she doesn't even have to attack; she can just send her minions in, and they can also get plus one counters. So they have to kill this before they get the counter.
It's basically
because other creatures have dethrone regardless. Sorry, I kind of misread that. I was thinking that like she had to attack for them to get the dethrone thing.
No. Yeah. She can just watch them attack. But they have to kill everything that they need to kill before you swing, because when you swing, they get counters on them, which means they come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And imagine you're playing like some type of counter game here with doubling season, like that's filthy. So.
A creature with dead touch, or a creature that's unblockable, or a creature that does something when it hits a player, like Ninja the Deep Hours, like draw a card, like any of that stuff. A creature with shadow, I don't know.
Or even all the creatures that are disposable and have, enter the battlefield abilities, so they die, and then they come back. Like,
fucking Thragtusk.
Yeah. Oh, that's disgusting. I mean, honestly.
Also four colors.
Yeah, no shit, then you're getting into four.
Yeah, well, good luck playing. Yeah, you ain't playing Thragtusk Lotus. And her, unless you got another general. But I think this in Commander is cool. I don't know. I mean, I like that they're pushing Commander into these new areas where you can like get the bad guy. So if you play in a play group where the one guy builds his pillow fort or he's got some shit going on, it's like they're giving the other players like gang up on this motherfucker and take him out. So I think that's cool.
This motherfucker.
Now let's talk about.
Well, now you don't have to justify it. You're just like, yeah, the card says I get a benefit if I attack you. Yeah, so I have to do it.
Sorry, Durf. No hippos for you.
You don't have to play this game where fucking somebody's gonna actually get upset and take their beer home because you attack them.
No, bring it back.
God damn it. That's one of the many reasons I hate fucking multiplayer. Is like somebody always gets upset. I don't know how many times in a multiplayer game I'm just all right. So I'm gonna attack you. Why? Why are you attacking me? Well, because
I'm not gonna attack myself and
the last guy. Yeah. If I keep attacking all three of you incrementally, like just like, okay, you this turn, you this turn, you this turn. All right. So I'm spreading my damage across three fucking people. One of you kills me and I'm the asshole. Or I can.
You're the asshole.
Kill you. And then I can attack the next dude and kill you, but you guys are going to each in turn fucking cry about it. Yeah. That's why I don't like fucking multiplayer, because Magic players cry about everything. At least I have the fucking built-in. When I'm playing one-on-one, I have the built-in excuse that, the point is to kill you. Shut up.
I mean, here's the thing. The card that disappoints me the most is the keyword parlay.
Yeah. I'm not really into that card either. But
it was parley. It sounded like something you'd put on food.
Boring. That's parsley. I'll read it for everyone. So, Selvala Explorer returned. One a green and a white. Legendary creature Elf Scout, 2/4. So pretty mediocre, not that exciting. She has Parlay. So it's tap, each player reveals the top card of his or her library. For each non-land card revealed this way, add one green mana to your mana pool and gain one life. Then each player draws a card. So kind of rampy.
Well, you know what this card reminds me of? Remember in the first Pirates of the Caribbean when fucking Keira Knightley and right at Parlay and then basically just gets punked for doing it? Like she thinks it's a good idea. And then he's just all, basically those are more rules than guidelines and, welcome to the ship. You're fucked. Like that's kind of like what this card does. It's like, oh, that seems like a good idea. No, it's not.
Well, I mean, you look at it this way. For 3 mana, you kind of have pseudo green white card draw. So and it gives you mana, so maybe
it ramps you gain life, and then each player draws a card.
Maybe. I mean, I don't like that each player draws a card, because I don't want to give my opponent a card.
That's the problem. Like, that's exactly the problem with it. Like, this would be fucking great if you drew a card, or even if they left the fucking card draw off of it. Like, this would be a different story. But the fact that, like...
Card draw is powerful.
Card draw is powerful, but not when you're giving it to everybody else. Like, that's what I'm starting to...
Well, that's good in Commander, because you make friends.
Yeah,
oh,
but
yeah, well, I could
not have been Beastmasters again.
Yeah, back to what I was just saying about how I don't want to make friends in Commander. I just want to kill people. But
you're clearly not going to be playing green white anyway, are you?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? Yeah. You know what, Houston, you're really bringing up a lot of points. Like, I mean, unless we start to see some really interesting interaction with these conspiracy cards in Vintage Masters, it feels like they just chucked them in. And Kevy's point is very valid that we just need fucking better creatures, but man, it feels arbitrary. Like, we're just trying to sell Vintage Masters really hard.
Well, so either it's a situation of they're like, oh man, we had all these badass cards for Commander 13 that we forgot to throw in, or we couldn't because we didn't have enough slots, so we'll just throw them in here. Or they, like, you know, we don't know.
Think Conspiracy is going to do very well, so we're going to put it in a product you will buy.
Actually, you know what? I forgot. So, Conspiracy isn't available on Magic Online, correct? Yeah. So that could also be why it's in Vintage Masters, because it gives us a chance to play cards. That makes a lot of sense. It still feels really bizarre, and I hope that they've tested these cards in the limited format, because that's why I'm drafting, you know, Vintage Masters. I don't just want you to just drop shit cards in there for no reason other than, oh, so you can play Commander. So.
Right.
That's kind of like where we're at with Vintage Masters. I mean,
I'm not done yet, fucker.
Okay.
There's still other ones.
Get in there, bitch.
Well, there's that Bassandra fucking Battle Seraph, and I'm really just, I don't want to talk too much about it. I'm just kind of.
She's awesome, though.
She's awesome. And can I say the fucking Therese Nielsen is gorgeous. Like, the artwork on that card is one of my favorites I've seen in a long time.
I'll tell you this, everyone. So, we do have a pole in the cave. If there was ever a Magic card that would dance on that pole, it's that card.
This one.
Oh, my God. With that whip.
And we're not just saying that because she's got red hair and we got the fucking ginger in the house tonight.
Houston, we do have a pair of wings and a bustier for you.
If you want. Yeah, we'll have you hook it up.
I already have
wings. We're never going to get her in here, so fuck it, Houston. Get on the fucking pole. We're just going to sit here and
just
not jerk off. We're not going to jerk off. We're just going to hold our hands in our pants for no good reason at all.
Kevy, why do you have that tape?
So I could tape it to my belly button.
I thought it was for him.
No, so I could tape my wiener to my belly button so you guys don't know when I'm hard and when I'm not.
There you go, man. Pro tips. There, that's a smooth brother tip right there. So the girls don't know you got a hard on. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Especially when you're just walking around in basketball shorts. That gets really awkward.
So there's one card so far, I guess, in Vintage Masters that, to me, is going to be miserable-fucking-bull in draft, and that's Channel. That card is not cool. I hope it's – I mean, there's no – I guess I can't tell what the rarity is because they didn't even put the fucking – rarity symbol on it, but my God, is that going to be atrocious?
Well, yeah, they're just showing, like, in these Vintage Masters, I think they're just showing the original versions of the cards.
It's a token. Like, gotcha, bitch.
All my life.
Every other pack.
I mean, that's a card I hope is, like, a mythic, because I don't want to see that card at common or uncommon at all. That's just fucking miserable, dude.
That's going to get gross.
It's just going to be stupid. Like, if that's the draft format, I'm not even going to fuck it.
Yeah, but Fireball's not in the format, so fuck it.
Yeah, it is. It will be in here.
I thought they were all not modern legal. Isn't Fireball modern legal?
You have the torch.
Dude, Fireball, yeah, the torch. Fireball was printed early on, so anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, did they say
Fireball
that?
Fireball is, except they can't interrupt it, and they got to pay two more.
Hey, I want to talk about this fucking Tyrant's Choice. What do you guys think about this? I like this card a lot, but I am kind of depressed because it's in Conspiracy, so I can't play it in Modern.
Very powerful card.
Black and white. And this is one thing. I love the fact that, like, the Will of the Council thing, like we were talking about earlier, kind of sucks in a lot of situations because it gives your opponent the ability to decide. Which you don't like to do.
Yeah, it's basically Punisher mechanic again, so.
Yeah, you have
when it's one-on-one, but it's a really good multiplayer mechanic.
Oh,
well, yeah, absolutely.
Extra politics.
But, like, I feel
politics,
like.
Politics, bitch!
You know, fucking sack a creature or they lose four life, like, either way, for fucking a black and one is not bad at all.
So then here's the question. Would you, in your black and red deck, is that a, if it was modern legal, would you play that?
I'd definitely test with it. I don't know how well it would work out. Because, I mean, literally, it's just like, I don't know.
It's
I'm not
almost
gonna,
like Vexing Devil.
In my burn deck, yeah, exactly. Like, it's the Punisher mechanic, but you're fucked either way. Like, unless you have a fucking way to deal with Vexing Devil, unless you have a fucking bolt in hand that you're going to waste on Vexing Devil, like, the Punisher mechanic on Vexing Devil is awesome because they're just fucked. And this is, of course, you're not going to fucking play it into a fucking board full of creatures so that they can decide to sack a token. Like, but, you know, for two mana, you get them for four life, which, I mean, that's, you know, Boros. That's why I play Boros Charm. Or they have to fucking sack a creature. If you know, you have to play it at the right time. Like, if they don't have a fucking creature on the board, then I think you're set.
Yeah, but if it's not the right time, then it's dead. And then you have one less card in your hand.
Exactly, which is why, like...
It's like, oh, they got a 5-6 Goyf. Tyrant's Choice? They're like, fucking take four, and then you take five.
Well, Goyf ain't gonna be in the set, but I get you.
Well, he said modern.
Oh, sorry, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know, it may be, and Star City will buy them all up again, and it'll go down to $200.
In my deck, I wouldn't mind forcing them to make that choice. They're like, oh, sweet, so I could fucking get rid of my 5-6 Goyf, or I can fucking, you know, take the 4 life. I'm like, all right, cool. Now here's two more bolts, and you're done, and your Goyf doesn't get to attack. Like,
because I run 8 bolts and you're dead.
He does. He runs 4 regular bolts and 4 mega bolts.
I run as many bolts as I possibly can.
Well, the one card that's in here is Skull Clamp, and that again, I mean, in cube, like I played a shit ton of cube, so
I love that.
That is a very high pick. If we
give me
get
that lingering
some decent
souls.
Creatures. Yeah, I mean, well here's the thing. So Because Vintage Masters is not going to have a lot of those newer cards, maybe they're going to limit the amount of, like, cheap creatures that you can use with it, so it won't be overpowered. But, yeah, if they have cheap token generators, oh, my God, this is like pack one, pick one, man. Like, if there's no power in the fucking thing, you take that. Because that card is just fucking broken.
Skull Clamp is fucking banned for a reason.
Well, I hit the Orcish Lumberjack at the end of the last pack. I guess I'll grab this Skull Clamp.
Hey, man, Goblins with Skull Clamp sounds like it could do damage, man. That sounds fun to me, but not to my opponent. For sure. I mean, one thing, though, that Ferret said they weren't going to do was Dual Lands. I think that's – I mean, man, I am very happy, in all honesty, that they put Dual Lands in here and Force Will and Jace. I think that's like, this is an attempt right here. I know they'd never do this in real life, but that right there feels to me like we're making a set to try and bring prices down. Like, we're overloading this set. So maybe whenever the next set comes out with the fetches, or, you know, Onslaught fetches, maybe, who knows. But if they give us something, maybe they'll start to, this is kind of their new mentality, you know, try to overprint the set, fill it up with enough good stuff that we can bring the prices down.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Yeah. Well, with more artifacts spoiled, do you guys still like Ralzeric? I think he's just getting better. Or Deck Faden, I'm sorry. Deck Faden.
Ralzeric. I love
whatever.
No. Dak's good. Deck, I mean, obviously.
I think he's so good.
Yeah, obviously Deck Faden is broken in Vintage Masters. Like, if I have power and him, basically that's just uncool. Like, he's super fucking good. And, you know, maybe some of these blink effects, because I noticed there's quite a few of them. Man, how dirty is that? You tap a mox, Dak Faden stealing your fucking opponents, then you're blinking out the mox, then you keep it. Like, oh, dude, dirtiness. Like, so he's fun. I've liked him since day one. Yeah.
Take your Skull Clamp.
Oh, this is fucking dirty, dude.
I'm having fun with that card.
So let's talk really quickly about the rumor mill. So I've been several times here looking at M15, and we know that my theory when TSG was on was about some type of Planeswalker Garrick that is gonna kill shit, or then I had to, like, well, you know what? They're probably gonna do a stupid Battle of the Hydra with Garrick. And reading this post on Salvation here makes me kinda scared. Cause that sure fucking sounds like exactly what they're gonna do. So I'll give you a bit of background on it. So Here's what a couple people said. So this time we'll get two different promos with M15, two special booster packs. One for those, I guess this is for Duels of the Planeswalkers on the thing. So you can get two different promo packs.
Goody.
Yeah, which I hated before because they just stole them and Stormwolf never gave you anything. Whatever though. Yep. But what it looks like is the pre-release packs, you're going to get five, Magic 215 core set booster packs. You're going to get one seeded booster pack. So I guess this is the new fucking trend. Don't innovate, Wizards. Don't innovate. Just keep doing the same thing. You get your one premium promo card, activity insert, whatever that is, a dice, and you get an oversized
Garrett. That's the thing that you get stickers and shit.
Dice, like, no, activity
insert. Well, by your opponent.
Activity insert is not dice. That's something that...
that's for like, a special activity. No, but this, okay,
Jack
so this
off
is
the neighbor in the middle of a round. You get a free booster pack, something like that.
Hey, that sounds like a fun F&M. So, okay, yeah, so, no. Hey man, listen to this. You get an oversized Garrick challenge card and three wolf tokens. So I'm just gonna throw this out here. That is 100% a fucking Garrick the Planeswalker that you basically play with. I bet he just every turn, make a wolf, make a wolf, make a wolf. And he has three abilities. The first ability, he makes a wolf. And it's going to be like, you test your deck against Garrick. If that's what it is, in all honesty, it's kind of cool. Like, that sounds like it's fun to play. In terms of M15 drafting and playing things and going to, like, let's say M15 pre-release, man, I really wish it wasn't.
I feel like it's gonna be like it. Maybe it'll be just be like if it's just an all black Garrick, there's be like plus one make a wolf, plus two make two wolves.
Yeah, plus three make three.
No, wolves. plus 1200.
Oh yeah, it's gotta be
Just something ridiculous. But basically, he's gonna be black because they're really trying to push this black white tokens deck because they hope that you go fucking buy the black white tokens modern deck and then you just stick Garrick in it. And he just keeps making wolf tokens.
Kev, you know what's scary, Kevin? You're making so much sense right now. It's fucking accident, like scary. You're hitting actual. I could see this around a marketing table. Here's how we're gonna sell the shitty modern $75 modern deck. We're gonna make Garrett black. Deck,
no fetches.
We're gonna make him fucking black.
$75 for a sword and a fucking Elspeth. You know. What's gonna make it worth it? We're gonna release the ultimate token generator.
This is lazy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
right.
Lazy. It should be. What about if it was like? Just think about it for a sec. Like six booster packs, like a normal fucking pre-release, and then like the instead of the like a seeded pack, why don't they do like some promo packs where it's like you fight Garrick, like you were saying, but it's like your pack versus his pack, and you actually get this like. Random pack and you try to fight Garrick with your pack.
That's
he
cool.
has a pack of wolves or something.
That's fun.
Like that's just off the top of my fucking head after two drinks. Like they're sitting around a table and they can't come up with something like that.
Okay, so I've already been attacked on Twitter. There's a lot of new players that love this.
It's fine. It's the internet.
And they're telling me stop fucking with M15. It's not for you. Go away. And you know what? I gotta help. You gotta honor the new player, and that's fine. And honestly, like, if you want to pull these gimmicks, M set is where you do it. Do it in the core set. I'm never gonna complain because if it sucks, I just don't play that. But what I really don't like is the laziness. Like, you did this already. Like, we just came out of Theros, and it's like, okay, replace the fucking
you did
Hydra
it
with
two years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's the last like. $2. It's time. You know, if they want to keep this format for core sets, I'm fine with that. But please God, for the advanced sets, can I have something cool and new? Yeah. And please, like, I have no problem with seeded packs. Like, if that's what you want to do because it makes people's color choice better, go ahead. But don't give me the bomb fucking rare. The rare, that is not cool. Number one, I don't like that. Like, it just feels like the A-team's already talked about it. So has a lot of people. But it does. It just feels like you've made my decisions for me, and I don't like that. So I would rather you give me foil modern playable commons.
Well, like, dude, not even that. It's like, okay, Now, like, before when you got the promo, like, okay, so the seated packs, you know, you got the promo and you got your seated packs. And before when you got the promo, you didn't get to play with it. Like, the older pre-releases, like, before they started doing this shit, you didn't get to play with the fucking promo. And, you know, now it's like, yeah, you get to play with the promo, but we're going to force you into those fucking colors, too.
Actually.
And so, like, now, like, why don't they just be like, all right, cool, that was fun for a while. I mean, it was great in Return to Ravnica because the whole goddamn thing was built around guilds and colors and shit like that.
How about this?
Fun.
How about this? Hold on.
If you're going to force people into two-color decks because of the guilds, then, yeah, you should probably give them some seeded packs to help them out with it. Now, that shit's over. Just be like, here's the fucking promos. You get to pick one of your five fucking promos, and then we'll give you, you know, six regular fucking packs.
How about this? So this is my idea. This is brilliant. So this is what you need to do, Wizards.
Of course it is. It's your idea, Matt.
No, it's not. It's because we're drinking. That's why. It's alcohol that makes us smart.
Because all of your ideas are brilliant, and that's why we continue to be the machine that we are.
I think it's
alcohol
more
alcohol equals knowledge. Don't you know that?
God damn right.
I think it's just we think the ideas are brilliant because we're drunk. But seriously, here's the idea. Imagine...
We have a bunch of minions that just lie to us and tell them they're good ideas, too.
There they are. They are. But how about this? You get your seated pack, everything is the same, and you have a choice. You can have the pack with the white bomb rare in it, because you're a new player and you like to feel powerful, or you can have the pack with no white bomb rare and a modern playable, like you have two promos. One for the guy that wants a wicked card, one for the new player that wants to play in the draft. That would make everyone fucking happy, because the guy who probably wants the foil Path of Exile or some cool modern card, he's going to be like, I already know how to play Magic, and I'm going to crush this draft with or without this stupid rare.
Right.
So I'm going to go, you know,
like,
if you want to win the draft.
That makes sense.
I would love that. They need to start giving people choice.
The only problem is, like, okay, this gets into a weird situation where it's like, and I know this
too
is
complex.
Like, well, no, not too complex, but I know this is minuscule, but it's like, okay, if you're like with that system, it's like, okay, so half the players in the room are like have fucking six packs minus one, and then half the players in the room have six packs plus one. Like, it's going to throw the numbers off, and you know Wizards doesn't want to do that because they're like, no, you have this many packs to build your pool out of. Because if you have a choice,
one card,
if you're like, no, I know it's one card. And I know as, like, people that actually
That's
play
all it
Magic,
takes
we're
people
not
to complain.
Yeah, we're not there. Yeah,
I somebody's just gave
gonna
you
get...
a fucking what you wanted, whiner people. Like, if
right,
they
yeah, somebody's gonna get pissed because they're gonna be like, "Oh, well, I mean, I wanted that fucking Force of Will and everything that you guys gave us, but I mean, like, come on, now that ruins my chances for winning the pre-release because I'm one card short."
Yeah, if there's EV guys out there that are like,
no, all I'm saying, like, I mean, how hard is it to just be like, "Oh, here's your fucking five fucking bombs, one in each color." That you get to play with your promo fucking bombs, but we're not going to fucking force you into your fucking color or neuter your chances of going into any other color. You get your fucking promo, and
no,
then you
no.
open up six regular fucking packs. You get to pick which promo you want.
No. Because the seeded pack is more, in all honesty, the seeded pack is what builds the synergy in your colors.
That's the problem. The seeded pack is what fucks people more than
that's
anything.
The problem. I hate fucking synergy because I'm Kevin Metal.
Yeah, that's right.
What? Yeah,
I want my seated pack to be all red and all damage dealing.
What about this? What about if they only did the seated pack boxes only at the core set?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, sure. That's
just simple solution. Like, this is when you're bringing in the most people. Like, is it the core set? It's for the entry level Magic players. Like, then the spikes can't complain. Like, this is the entry level set. This is where we try to bring in people the most. We're doing these seeded packs. If you don't want to, wait for the skill sets.
You could cross-moginate that shit and be like, all right, here's the fucking Duels of the Planeswalker games. When you complete the game with the fucking blue Planeswalker, you get to fucking have the blue fucking promo set. When you complete the game with this, that way everybody's be like, shit. Well, I gotta beat it with all of them because I don't know what I want to fucking play with. And so they're gonna be all hyped and they're gonna buy the fucking Duels of the Planeswalker game. They're gonna fucking go through and they're gonna beat the goddamn whole fucking thing. They're gonna beat all the decks with Jace. And they're gonna be like, the set's gonna come out. And they're gonna be like, oh shit, the white promo's better. God damn it, now I gotta go back through and beat the game with Gideon. Whatever the case may be, but that's gonna fucking
Johnny,
make people fucking, make people buy the game so that they can get through the game, and then they can bring in their little fucking, you know, computer fucking printout coupon that, you know, you used to get a fucking promo card for. I don't know if you still do. Bring in your fucking coupon to the fucking pre-release and be like, bam, there we go. M15, I get fucking the Ajani fucking pack. And they're just like, all right, here's your fucking white bomb flyer. Have fun.
I just want another Hell Vault, like something like that. That was so cool. Yeah. Like, I'm even a spike, and I'm like, that's cool. I want to unlock this thing and see what's inside. Like, why can't they just do something like that? Here's a bunch of free shit, and there's some, like, rare ones with a bunch of extra free shit.
Because the problem was that it didn't turn out is what they thought. They want people
they got weird.
You get all the spikes. It attracts the wrong crowd. The spikes want to get the high values.
And so we were all pissed, and they also did.
No one even knew what was in it.
No, we were all pissed because we heard about this Hell Vault thing, and we didn't...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had no idea what was in it, but we heard it was supposed to be awesome, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, our store doesn't have one of those. We're like, oh, neat.
And well, that's stupid. I mean, hey, I'm with you, Houston. Let's just get some originality. The big fall set for me is probably where they make the most money because it's the freshest, it's the newest.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to play it. Make it unique, dude. Like, I like the boxes. They were fun. But I think a lot of people, like, you're right, man. It's been 2 years. I've played with these boxes now, like, what, 6 times?
Dude, it's fine to have boxes even. Like, to be honest with you, it's kind of cool to get that box and fucking
open it. It is cool.
It's not just a handful of packs. It's the box. It's got the fucking...
It's cool for like a year.
No, but don't keep doing the same thing. Fucking put something else in the fucking box, man.
Why don't they do something different every block?
That's what I would like.
In the core set, we had the boxes, and then each block, there's something like...
Yep.
Different about pre-release. That gives them a whole year to think of a new one. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't have to be, like, 3 Hell Vaults or anything. But, like, it gives them whole year to think of.
It's Garuk, it's Garuk's Hell Vault. Garuk's jockstrap. What's in it? I don't know. But I bet it's hairy and it's got it's two just balls.
A big, pop out of fucking Garuk standing up and fucking back in the corner. And, like, when you pick it, it's like a magic 8-ball whenever you pick up
it. You just gotta rub it.
Like, just some weird shit will pop up on the screen.
It's so you shake his junk, and then a little dice floats to the top. It's like, come back again later.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we got to break 15 moonshine bottles, and we unlock Garuk's package.
15 moonshine bottles.
I feel like the guy drinks moonshine. I'm sorry.
It looks like, I mean, no, I love it. I was honestly like, where is this pre-release? I want to go to this where they've got moonshine. It sounds amazing.
Oh, dude, no, they got a big Zoltar machine, like, back in the but it's just Garuk fucking standing there reading you your fucking fortune in the fucking corner. You just start feeding basic lands into it, or you feed all your fucking...
Yeah, you feed all the shit lands. God.
You're just all, here you go, man, and you start spitting out fortunes, but it's just usually just like all,
shut up. You're gonna die alone.
Yeah, you're gonna die alone. Pull your pants up. You smell. And then the one guy gets the, like, Axe body spray.
Half off.
And he's like, yeah, half off Axe body spray.
Every once in a while, a siren goes off, somebody wins the jackpot. It's like you're in fucking Vegas, and you just get to go up the fucking front counter, and you got, like, $8 to $12 in fucking store credit. And you're fucking... I like it. I think it's a good idea.
No, you know what would be awesome? So when you win the jackpot, an alarm goes off, and he just sprays wolf tokens all over you.
Oh, God. You're fucking blast. That's back to the fucking, if he's just a cardboard cutout in the corner and you got to lift his jockstrap to see what he's
saying. That would be the best.
Every 150th person that opens up the jockstrap just gets pelted with wolf tokens out of his...
They spoiled the first new card from the next set for that guy that punched Garuk's, you know, life-size cardboard cutout in the nutsack. There's, like, this secret compartment that has a card in it.
Yeah, it drops out, and it's the fucking weird, like, planted spoiler card for fucking
the next set. That would be amazing, dude. That would be amazing. He sprays out wolf tokens, but one of the tokens is the spoiler for Flags of Trokar.
I have no idea why we're not all hired.
I'm telling you right now. Look, hey, I was on Glass, whatever that site is that, you know, people rate when they work at Wizards. I don't know what's wrong with that company, but there is a lot. Yeah, there is a lot of miserable people there. Do you know how much fun? Listen, managers, if you hired us, we would make your life amazing.
Except for Wizards is not going to do this.
No, but
our next logical step would be like, fuck it, let's just make our own game and fucking do the same thing. But Wizards will sue the shit out of us like they did with Hex and shit. Like, they're just all, nope, not going to happen. Like, yeah, you three are way too much fun, and we can't have that.
I'm just saying, if we should just film, like, a sitcom about three guys that want to work at Wizards, but we'll never get there.
I want you guys to, like, understand the gravity of this. Like, the fact that Maddie and I are separated by fucking, like, country borders and, like,
machine guns.
Like, the whole fucking continent.
Like, lakes.
That's the reason, like, if we were close enough to each other to actually produce video content,
oh, fuck.
Break.
Like, I honestly think if we were close enough to do that, I would probably not be married.
Yeah, the fact that Maddie and I can actually be in each other's presence, like, once a year tops is probably a good thing for all of your health.
Yeah. It would be epic. We'll find a way to do it. Maybe there's holographic.
Should we all make a pitch to Wizards to hire us?
We do. It's called this podcast every week.
Can we do this again?
Come on! If you want a ginger that still has hair, fire Stam Stod and just hire me.
Oh, shit!
That easy.
Hey, Sam Stod's doing a good job, man.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
He actually is very impressive.
He wants, but fucking Houston is, like, we need to push for Houston so that he can fucking get on with Wizards and have more hair than Sam Stod and also get us a job, Maddie.
He's doing such a good job, I would donate my beard to him.
I think the sad thing is, Kevin, you forget that gingers only hire gingers. So he wouldn't hire us. He would stab us in the back, and he'd go find some other...
Is that how it works? That's why I can't find a job. I got to find a ginger first. And they're like 2% of the world, so that's going to be hard as fuck to find one in a managerial position.
Like, he'd be like, oh, heavy meta, I'm gonna buy that, but I'm gonna scrap you two. I'm gonna have fucking Mike Marcella and Aaron Campbell come on. Take your places.
Actually, there you go. And Houston, you could call it three redheads and a blonde. Something. All right, so let's move on. So let's talk, cause we've got Pro Tour this weekend. So probably, actually, if you're listening to this on Friday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, you're listening to it. Yeah, today. Whatever, in the future. We're talking future talk right now.
Okay, or tomorrow.
Yeah, so you're watching the Pro Tours, you're listening to this, so you're doing it right. Thank you. But, man, what are we thinking this Pro Tour is going to be? Good, bad? What are you guys thinking? Because I know I'm watching it tomorrow.
I'm
watching it right now with you.
I'm totally watching it right now. Fuck that, I'm not watching it right now.
It's blocked.
On Friday, I gotta go to my fucking wife's graduation, and then on Saturday, Mike Marcella, fucking speaking to the gingers, ginger Italian, is coming through Ridgecrest on his way home from fucking Disneyland, and I get to fucking meet up and have lunch with that dude. It's kind of crazy.
Nice. I'm not, Chris, like, probably, North Carolina?
No, he lives in Reno. But,
no, you.
Oh, no, I live in fucking Southern California.
Oh, okay. There's a Ridgecrest in, like, North Carolina. I was like, holy fuck.
Really?
Like, that's... Yeah, you're like a hop, skip, and a jump away.
You're right there. No, I'm on
the other side. It's like on a mountain.
That's funny. But yeah, no, like, Mike hit me up on Twitter, and he's just like, dude, he's like, I'm going through Ridgecrest. And I was like, nobody goes through Ridgecrest. That's fucking weird.
Yeah, that's a huge...
Okay, I got lost.
But he's heading back home from fucking Disneyland, and so he's, like, blowing right through town, and he's just like, dude, we got to hook up. I was like, dude... If I'm not at work or at my wife's graduation because she'll kill me, then we have to hook up. So I'm going to lunch with that dude on fucking Saturday.
Which nice.
And then Friday night, got wife's graduation, and I'll probably start drinking after that. So I'm probably not watching any of the Pro Tour coverage as we speak. I'm interested to see what happens this Pro Tour because, like, I feel like I was just looking at fucking Saito's fucking Twitter page, and that motherfucker just fired out like 14 fucking deck lists. And you know that motherfucker can brew decks like nobody's business.
Okay, okay, you know what? Fuck it. As Heavy Medic, we're not going to talk about the Pro Tour right now. We have to talk about Saito. I know for probably I'm making this up, but it's probably a fact.
This is a fact that I made up for this joke.
It's not even a joke. It's the truth. You know. That guy just snorts massive amounts of cocaine and then just stays up all night. There's no, like, he's like just on a fucking massive coke run when he's brewing 14 fucking days.
It's fucking insane. Like, the dude's just all, whatever, I'm fucking, like, I'm ashamed, bro. Like, fuck it, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm really good at this fucking game. And the guy's got a fucking knack for brewing decks. I mean, like, it is what it is. I mean, there are good deck brewers out there, but he's one of them. I mean, who gives a shit he got fucking, you know, busted down for fucking slow play or whatever. Like, it, you know, the dude could build some fucking decks. And everybody, like, since he came back on the scene, everybody's just like, oh shit, nobody's heard from Saito, like, you know, playing in fucking tournaments. But, oh yeah, everybody's running the Saito red green deck. Like, oh, everybody's running this deck. And, like, I happened to look at his, like, somebody posted something about, like, he's got a red-black fucking deck. And I was like, ooh, I want to check this out. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, I'll go to Saito's Twitter page. And the motherfucker, like, if you go through, like, if you go to Saito's fucking Twitter page, and you look at his fucking pictures, there's, like, a string of, like, 13, 15, or some shit like that decks that he's just all, you know, standard deck number one, standard deck number two, standard deck number three. And he's just fucking firing these things off left and right. And I'm not a great deck builder, so I could be, you know, you could probably, if you have a better eye for that shit, you could probably look at him and be like, ah, this one's half-assed, this one's good, this one's good. But, like, every one of them I looked at, I'm like, damn, that's not bad. That's a good idea. And then the next one, I'm like, damn, that's got blue cards in it, and it's still a good idea. Like, holy shit. And he just,
yeah, it's got blue cards in him.
Like, nobody's business. And so, yeah, dude, if you're looking for deck ideas, go to that guy's fucking, go to his fucking Twitter page, because that dude just fires off deck ideas like nobody's business. So I think from now on, when the new set comes out, I'm just going to go to Saito's fucking page, pick one of the fucking decks, and roll with it. It's way
the Japanese Chapin.
Yeah, exactly. He is. He really is. Like, the decks are very good, very put together. I actually really like the way he just lays them out, takes pictures of them all perfectly aligned like that.
He just pops them out on his fucking playmat, fucking takes pictures of them. He's like, all right, next deck. And the motherfucker's probably just like, and like, he owns a shop. So maybe he's just like, oh, hey, everybody in the shop, come up here, bring your deck. I'm going to take pictures of it, and I'm going to say it was my idea. Yeah. And everybody's like, all right, fucking sweet. I'm down. Like, you say it was your idea, because then people will look at it. And then he's just like, all right, put your deck out on the fucking table. And then, like, they lay it out on the fucking table. He's like, that's not straight. And then he gets him a ruler and slaps him over the hands with it, and then he makes them take it and line the cards up all perfect and straight, takes a picture, and he's just like, my idea number 7! And takes a picture of it and posts it on Twitter. But, regardless, there's a lot of good deck ideas on that.
Dude, he's a genius if that's what he's doing.
I don't give a shit where he gets them from. Like, he claims they're his ideas and they're good ideas, so I take it for what it is.
I'm actually, like, going...
Fuck the world, Maddie.
I'm scared of Godzilla, so I believe him.
They don't have control over... They don't get sent Godzilla over to get it. No, I'm actually really excited about this Pro Tour. I do like the limited ones. Especially the seal, or not seal, the block constructed ones. I think that's when we get to see a bit of what.
Never mind, I'm not even excited anymore. I thought this was.
Ah, come on. No, it's block, dude. It'll be good.
The whole goddamn Saito rant is his constructed decks. I thought we were gonna get to see some cool some cool fucking standard shit. But it's yeah, if it's block constructed.
There's not any cool standard shit.
Well, no, there is. No, that's not true. There's the new black. That new standard. Black aggro deck is really cool. Watch that on, yeah.
Yeah.
That one looks really good. And then I saw, actually, I think it was last weekend.
That's not new. Everybody saw it. I was like, oh, look, the 15th one drop. Let's make a deck.
I know. But at least it's not, I mean, okay, so sadly, when I was watching SCG, coverage, and watching that deck on coverage, I was like, oh, that's really cool. I should go build it. And then I was in MTGO, and I'm like, ah, and I'm looking at it. And then I looked at, like, my old 4-month-old mono blacklist. I'm like, I'm going to just play this. And then I just casually crushed, like, 5 games in a row. I'm like, this deck is still too good. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Man, Mono Black is so powerful, and now that I've got, like, it's splashing a bit of white in case I face Mono Black, like, it's, nope. Just, it's just not cool, dude. Like, I hope there just better be some hate. Like, I don't know if it's hate, or maybe you just improve the other colors, but M15 better have some fucking new shit in it, cause...
Just a white card named Racist.
It's yeah. Like you can't play black spells. That's...
People could be mad, but I don't know. It seems like a pretty card.
That's what Godsend was gonna be, but then they're like, we're gonna get so much trouble if we call it just Racist and it just fucking blanks out all the black cards. So we should probably just get rid of all the gods.
Why don't we just do a cycle? Why don't we do a one mana instant cycle? Exile target black permanent for every color but black. and black gets a one mana instant that says, "What the fuck."
Yeah, what the fuck,
man? No,
all rats.
Yeah, well, the rat, hey, pack rat, man. I've been speaking with a few people about like modern. I think pack rat is good, dude. I think that card is super fucking powerful, man.
I mean, like, you're probably the 12 millionth dude to say that. And like, I get it. Like, pack rat's a good fucking card because Jesus Christ.
Because Jesus Christ.
What's Jesus got to do with it?
Yeah, are you a carpenter? Because Jesus Christ. This is fucking ridiculous. Like, pack rat's been good. Pack rat hasn't stopped being good because they haven't printed an anti-pack rat card yet. And pack rat's going to continue to be good until they print an anti-pack rat card.
Yeah, they did. It's called Bile Blight.
Yeah, they got cards. They just gave it to the wrong color.
So they gave it to black? Sweet. That's
black, kill your own pack rats. Oops.
Continue to do this black thing, but then let's like really make the fucking mono black mirror even more fucking.
I think
fun.
The oops was Mutavault.
Yeah.
I think that's what really puts it over the edge. Like, by itself, yeah. It doesn't seem all that great, but like when you add Mutavault in.
Which is true, because like nobody gave a shit that much about pack rat. Like, pack rat was great and limited, and that was it. And then fucking Mutavault was printed again, and they're like, oh shit, now pack rat's awesome. And
if that wasn't enough, here's Thoughtseize to make sure they don't have anything.
Yeah. Here's the answer. Oops, by the way, they play Thoughtseize so they can strip it from you. Good luck with that.
Don't get me wrong. I was actually excited for this to happen. I was like, really excited because fucking, you know, we've talked about this before. Black is the fucking, black is the black sheep of the Magic family. Like, black has been fucked for a long time, and black is weak as shit. And then they're like, all right, let's give black its heyday. But again, I think they were drinking just like Maddie and I do, and they're just all, you know what? We should make black even better. No! Let's make black even better than that! And then they just gave him all of the things. And now, like,
I think
what if every card was a rat for the rest of the game?
You know what I can honestly see around a boardroom table, and they're like this. They're like, are you sick of people bitching?
I've been saying for years, fucking Watsy has a bar in their boardroom.
I don't know if they drink. Well, if they do, it explains a lot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But listen.
Well, it's why
Black Standard.
Romero's podcast is Drive to Work, not Drive Home from Work. He's got to concentrate because he's drunk as fuck going home.
Hey, all I got to say right now is Mark.
Man, I'm going to talk about his ideas. This is going to be great. And then he didn't shit on the way home.
Hold on. If Mark Rosewater did drunk drive to work, that would probably be the best episode ever. I'm just saying, Mark. I know it's wrong. We don't endorse that.
No. A long time.
At a camera, and we got another episode of Cops.
A long time ago, I proposed doing the Kevin Metals drunk drafting stream, and I was just gonna fucking mount one of those cop style fucking laptop mounts in the middle of my fucking truck, and I was gonna just draft on mobile while I drove around town drunk and stream it, and everybody said, that's a bad idea, and you're gonna go to jail, and a bunch of shit like that. So, I cannot condone fucking Mark Rose drunk drive home.
How about we get him so drunk that when he gets in his car, he's too drunk to go anywhere, and we take the engine out. So he thinks he's driving because he's so smashed, he's blathering on.
Yeah, have you ever seen that Cash Cab show where the fucking dude drives around and people in the back? We do some shit like that. We get him a cab home, but he's got a fucking podcast set up in the back seat. And then he gets to get hammered and tell us all about the shit that they talked about at work today that we're not supposed to know about. But don't tell anybody because I'm not supposed to tell anybody about this shit.
Tell us all the secrets and we'll pick up a hooker.
Oh, yes! No, there we go.
And there's Maddie driving the cab, just going, yeah, yeah, you're fine, keep talking, it's fucking good.
Yeah, and Wayne Brady shows up, and it all goes to fucking shit. So, okay, so here's a few things, since it's Friday and you're watching the Pro Tour right now. Watch out for the, we are going to get a reveal, I believe, of Huey. Sometime, probably on Sunday, probably before the top eight. It's my imagine. It's where they would release that info. So that's going to be badass. I can't wait to see what they're going to drop on us there. So that'll be pretty sweet. But
it's always hit and miss with them too. Like it might be like, oh, here, this is what the set's called and the whole theme behind it. Or they might be like, oh, it's not actually called Huey. And then,
well, we know that. They're probably going to show us the logo and one card, which maybe is fine. And they're going to probably, you know what it's going to be? One card and the Planeswalker.
It's a Dwagon set.
Yeah, it's a Dwagon
set. It's a Dwagon. Anyways,
isn't that like, haven't we put together the fact that that's supposed to be the fucking Champions of fucking Kamigawa Part 2? Or
No, it's Clans. Clans or Karns of Trokar.
Yeah, so whatever the fuck that's supposed to be.
Whatever.
So that's what, like, is that where that set's supposed to fit? That's Huey?
That's the one, brother.
Okay, so they're going to just give us a fucking, they're going to give us art of an Asian dude fucking something up. Or an art of an Asian dude just standing there in front of some mountains. And that's going to be it.
You know what? It might
and the set symbol.
Yeah, there you go. So
oh, it's like a Fight Club theme set.
All right, gentlemen.
That's fucking brawlers.
It is that time in the cast called Pick Your Favorite Sandwich. So Angelo has requested that we each answer this question. Favorite sandwich. So I was just in Boston, and I had a burger, which is my brand new favorite sandwich of all fucking time.
Can I just throw in mine real quick?
Sure.
Me, Megan Fox, and my wife. Boom. That's it.
Well, it's edible.
You know what I hate? You know what I hate about you, Cammy? Your fucking answers are like, how do I who cares? Who wants to hear me talk about a fucking burger now?
You talk about your sandwich now.
You just destroyed the quite, like, well, he wins.
Well, I was gonna say BLT, but man, that just sounds stupid now.
Yeah. Me and Houston are sitting here eating our fucking sandwiches. Kevin's eating fucking movie star snatch. Like,
you mean food?
I'll forgive you for Transformers.
You were awesome in Transformers.
Yeah, I don't give a shit how much shit people talk about that girl. I would still do terrible things to her.
Oh, every time she opens her mouth, you just put her finger on it. Shh.
Don't ruin
it. Don't ruin it.
Yeah. It'd be like putting pickles on this sandwich.
No. Keep it open. Just, you know, don't say any words. I got a plan for that.
I thought you were going to say you were going to put pickles in it.
No. Anyway.
Hey, some people like that. That's free world.
So Maddie, your sandwich you were speaking of.
Yeah, I had a really good burger, but Kevin's ruined it, so we're going to move on to the one and only. Oh, by the way, I just want to let everyone know. So Martin Brunette, he is basically now the producer of his own show that has a segment on our cast. He's the official banner unban. He is the banner unban manager of banning and unbanning at Heavy Meta now. But he has a question, and it's pretty sweet. And we've never done this one before, so we're going to do it right now. He's like, what would be your Planeswalker starting lineup for the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final? That is a fucking great question. And it is hard to answer. But I don't think Kevin can come up with a witty retort about naked chicks.
I got this.
Okay, go.
Chandra and Lily on wings, because they're not going to be wearing anything. It's just going to distract the shit out of them. We got Gideon, because Gideon or a Johnny, either one, always wins at center. Fucking Garrick and Koth on defense, and we're putting Nickel Bolas in front of the net, because there's not any way possible you're ever getting a puck past him.
Boom. That's That's pretty fucking good. that is a good one. What about you, Houston?
I had to pick six angry coughs, and then a Karn if it doesn't go to plan, if we can reset, start the game over.
Just be like, fuck it. Start the game over. Nice. Yep. I like that.
That's awesome. I guess mine would basically be, I got to put freaking Jace the Mind Sculptor at center. Just because his puck draws, like, he's gonna win every puck draw.
Yeah,
right?
Because
he's just gonna mind fuck you and you're gonna be like, huh? And he's like skating down the ice scoring a net. On my wings, I'm probably gonna be going for some fat, for some speed. I like Adami Raid. He's a little short guy, but, you know, he looks like he can get in fights and take shit down. So I'd be throwing him up there. I think on my other wing, I'd probably throw Gideon. I think he looks like he's solid. He can get in there. Get in the boards, win some battles. I put Liliana on defense. I know that sounds like an odd choice, but...
Oh, yeah, no, you just fucking turn people dead real quick. Somebody comes flying down, you know, flying down the boards, and Liliana is just all, yeah, no.
Well, that's
just
what I was going to say, right? So Vraska and Liliana are basically just the death touch wall of defense.
Yeah.
And I was going to pick fucking Garrett because he was huge to go in net, but Kevin makes a very valid point that Nickel Bolas is probably outsizes fucking Garrick by a little bit. But I'm going to go the human route. I'm going to throw Garrick in there, but I'm going to throw the new black evil Garrick because we know nothing about him, and he looks like he's fucking cool.
What about off the bench, you have, like, Gideon and Vraska? So, like, Gideon makes them all come toward
him. Oh, there you go. Yeah,
makes them all come toward him, and then it's like, look, I have Vraska. You're all stone, and then I won.
I like this. And, like, and fucking, and Tibble's just getting them all water.
Yeah, Tibble's definitely getting water.
Like, Tibble and Nyssa are just get, like, giving spice rum
for everyone.
They call Tibble out. They're like, hey, there's a chip in the ice. Could you pack that down? Yes, I can. So that was a good one, man. That was pretty sweet.
Well, like, I got to know, like, out of this, though, like, who's coaching the team?
Oh, man. I don't even think it would be a planeswalker that would coach.
John Madden.
John Madden.
Fucking Madden.
Of course.
Never mind.
No, I think Maddie, I gotta take fucking your Jace and his mind sculpting abilities. I think he just needs to fucking coach it, so then he doesn't have to worry about that. Like he could just fucking run everybody. He could be like, all right, you go here, you go here. Just play it like a video game from the bench. Like he'd just be fucking set.
Yeah, I like it, man. I think Jace, or you could just be, if you want to be a cheater, you just Jace versus everyone, and there's just one player. And he just wipes the game. He just wipes everyone's fucking mind.
Yeah, he just looks at the other dude and he's just like, go put it in your own net, idiot.
Yeah, look it in your own net ass. Wait while I just drop the card. Yeah, we're going to drop three cards.
Sandra would be good because she looks good mad, so I mean, that'd be good for TV.
Yeah, I realized that, like, fucking Chandra and Lily on the wings just, like, fucking skating around with no clothes on, distracting people is a bad idea because fucking Chandra is going to make it 3 feet before she just starts sinking into the hole.
Yeah, she's going to make a fucking melt the ice, man.
It's not going to work. Chandra cannot be on the ice.
You're going to distract Nickel Bolas, too, and his horn's going to get hard, and then it's all going to be downhill from there, too.
She's still sitting in front of a fucking goal. It's, like, this big. It's, like, he could just
make it embarrassed, like, and have to fly away and, you know,
that's get the juice out. You might be like, oh, it's weird and awkward. I just finished that fast. Oh, man, I should get out of here. And then they score on us, which is bullshit and can't happen.
Oh my god, why aren't we doing this? That's all I'm saying.
I love it. We know a lot of fucking, like, the Heavy Meta SVU has a lot of fucking computer nerds in it. We need to have somebody program in, like, just even, like, let's just go back to old, like, NHL 94. Like, the old.
Oh, that would be so good.
And just reprogram it with all the fucking Planeswalker characters in it.
Just gonna make this Martin guy write my show notes for my show.
Hey man, you leave him alone. He's ours. You don't fucking steal our shit. Martin is our special. We bring him on when we really need to sell the show that week.
When we don't have shit else to talk about.
Pretty much, yeah.
We have Martin give us ideas.
Ban or unban, get in here. All right, so we have a question from our second, I believe he's the assistant copy editor of Heavy Meta now, Bruce Lee. He has a question. So in a high stakes game, a card game, he doesn't say which card game. So I assume poker, but it could be anything.
Just a high stakes card game.
Between Emrakul, Grizzlebrand, Akroma, Karn, Norrin the Wary, and Jin Gitaxis, who drops out first? Who wins? And who winds up shot in the back alley?
Wow. Oh, what the fuck? That's going to make me think.
Yeah, that is, I mean, we're really deep. We're deep right now.
Super deep.
Yeah, like...
Jin Gitaxis wins, right? Because he makes everybody discard their cards.
I don't even remember who is playing.
At I mean, point. Can you even discard? I mean, I guess if you everyone discards their
know,
card.
I don't know. That's the only one I remember.
Yeah. I don't remember who's playing now.
I mean, it's really weird because, like, Grizzlebrand is drawing seven cards. Jin Gitaxis is making you discard your cards. Norrin the Wary, yeah, I don't know.
Grizzlebrand's just going to kill himself because Jin Gitaxis is going to be like, all right, discard those.
Yeah.
Draw seven. All right, discard those.
And I mean, Karn can just start the fucking game over if he's losing. Like,
yeah, he's like, this is a bad idea. Like, oh man, I got pocket deuces.
All right, so who drops out first? That's the hard one. I mean, I would say Norrin the Wary is gonna probably drop out first.
Yeah, he seems pretty weary, and he just wants to fucking go home and go to sleep. Yeah. So he's probably gonna drop out first.
Or he's gonna blink himself out. Who the fuck knows? But I think he's out of there. I think Emrakul is gonna probably win this because he doesn't give a shit about his hand because he's
Still gonna eat the casino. He wins.
He's gonna just make annihilate everyone.
Who the fuck invited this guy?
Yeah,
he's just he eats worlds and shit,
and just fucking rolls in, and he's like, "Give me my cards," and then like just eats the casino. He's like, "Fuck it, I don't really give a shit." Yeah, what the fuck is the point in winning at the card game when you can just suck up all the people building and all the money in it at the same time? Like, fuck it. Like, I eat worlds. That's what I do. Yeah, I think that guy.
I definitely could agree with that. I think Emrakul and Jin Gitaxis would have a little fight. They're the ones who are probably going to go step out in the fucking alley and deal with their drop your hand. No draw seven. Fucking don't drop it. Draw seven.
If we're talking magic cards, like what they do, that gets a little bit difficult. But I'm thinking like characters like Vorthos wise. I'm thinking Emrakul's just going to win. Like,
yeah, but who winds up shot in the alley then?
Yeah, well, have you ever
it's got to be Jin Gitaxis.
Well, it's whoever's left after fucking Emrakul eats Vegas. Like, whoever happened to fucking make it through and just, you know, fucking happened to hide under the right fucking ceiling beam and made it out, he's just like, all right, fucking sweet. I'm going to try to get out of here. And then some other dude's just like, oh, hey, man, what's up? Let's fucking, give me your money. And then he shoots that dude in the alley. That's it. Like, Emrakul wins the whole thing.
Just randomly get shot trying to escape the end of the world.
Yeah, after you just got fucked by Emrakul. And you're just like, oh, shit, I made it.
Jin Gitaxis has, like, a best friend named Gilded Drake. And just, boom, there's the edge.
Yeah, Gilded Drake kills you. That's awesome.
His kamikaze, you know, bro. You just switch sides.
Why did you just threw a vexing devil at me, you fucker? What the hell? Oh man. I mean, that's kind of the highlights of our Twitter questions this evening, folks.
We don't have any more Twitter questions.
Well, there's some bizarre ones as usual. But they're I can't go too deep into them because I fucking can barely hold my eyes on the screen right now. Truth be told.
Favorite card that taps and sacks.
Oh.
Someone wrote that one in, I think.
Yeah.
Remember that somewhere.
It doesn't really matter if they wrote it in or not. We should probably do
it. No. I mean, I fucking made that up. You know, I made a new account.
You know what's hilarious? At this point, if we'd have done that question first in the show, we could have probably thought of something.
I'm going Lotus just because that's the only one I can remember right now.
Does fetch lands count?
Oh yeah, I guess that's right.
Well, those
no,
are like...
no, I got one.
You're right.
Executioner's Capsule.
Oh yeah,
that's like awesome. I have like an artifact EDH deck.
Nice, that kills a dude.
It's like a Doomblade that you can get back all the time. That one's a good one.
Hell, is it a Doomblade or is it like a Devour Flesh?
It's a Doomblade, non-white creature.
All right.
I ain't that drunk. See,
there's that fucking racism again.
Yeah. It's all over Magic.
Yeah, the racism runs rampant in this fucking...
So, I mean, I guess we have to talk about a few things as we close up our incredible show.
Things to talk about? That's fucking awesome. Because I thought you were trying to get out of this early.
No. Not yet. I did want to let everybody know, a few people asked of my cryptic tweets. I can't go into too much detail because we're still in negotiations right now. But it looks like for merchandise, we're probably going to do something that's never been done before.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you too much, but it looks like we may have an option to do some pretty incredible stuff, that you guys are going to fucking love. So stay tuned. There may be some really interesting partnerships coming up in the future with what we're going to do. And I think we're going to change the fucking game, in merchandising magic stuff.
Yeah, this is going to get weird. I can tell you this is going to get weird.
We don't know yet, but probably very soon, we'll be able to do stuff that I don't think we've ever been able to do before with any of our previous merchandise. And just we'll be able to do this at a volume and at a quality level. And at a price level that you've never seen before. And on top of all that, I can give you a few things. Not only will we be able to do t-shirts, hoodies, all that regular shit that we've done before, and we're talking like absurd stuff, you're going to get your sticker packs, people. Everyone that's been asking, you're like, I want sticker packs. Not one sticker. How about five different stickers? Yeah, you're going to get that. We've got that in the works.
Like, things are happening.
Yeah, we got beer coasters in the works. We could do any of that shit.
Maddie, don't tell them too much.
Okay, I can't let you in, but I will.
Because I want to just buy all of it first.
Well, we'll be able to make one-offs. So we can do some crazy shit.
Yeah.
So cool shit is coming in the way. We got some pretty amazing stuff coming for 2014. So stay tuned for that. We'll let you know.
I also want to thank all of you for putting your fucking your pictures online. Because I didn't get to talk about this last week because to be honest, I forgot about it. Because there was a lot of drinking and there was a lot of SVU members. But the Kraken! Those motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah. I can let you in on that. So I approached them and I wrote them a long email and I was like, you know, our show fucking like, we basically talk about you every goddamn episode. And they were like, really? So they asked for some more information. I gave it to them. And they were like, well, they're like, what could you really do? And that's when you guys all just went mental. We're tweeting the shit out of stuff. So we definitely made an impact. Their eyes are on us. So if they're listening to this cast, if they do get to sponsor us, which is kind of what I'm hoping for, I think that would be fucking absurd.
I think, like, regardless, you know, hopefully we can push this through for the heavy meta event that we can.
That's what I'm thinking.
Pretty much are doing this. I mean, of course, it'd be awesome if they just sponsor us as a cast, but who knows? Well, like, we'll see where this is going. Many have talked. There's talks with them, with the company themselves. And it's fucking crazy. But what cracked me up is the fact that what cracked me up was the fact that, like, we said, hey, I want you motherfuckers to give all your Kraken love to the Kraken people at Kraken Rum. And then, like, the floodgates opened and there was fucking pictures and there was fucking tweets and there was shit going on. And then I looked at, I was like, I'm kind of curious, like, you know, how this compares in volume. And so I just looked up, like, you know, tweets that involved, like, their
Kraken,
Twitter address, like Kraken Rum. And I was like, they get a couple tweets a fucking day.
they got over 100.
I was hanging out with my friends and I was drinking Kraken Rum. And then all of a sudden they got fucking manhandled by the SVU for like 2 days straight.
Yeah.
It was just fucking pictures and fucking this and that. It's like heavy metal SVU, Kraken Rum. Yes, this is the right thing to do. You guys would be fucking retarded if you didn't fucking sponsor these guys. And it was fucking amazing. You guys fucking put out like nobody's business. Like there was just shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And
so
they just got like attacked. But this is the thing we would love for you guys to do is just start like every time you're fucking talking about the heavy metal SVU, fucking mention Kraken Rum too. Let them know how much you guys love them. Not so much us, because we know you love us, but we need them to know how much you love them and us.
Yeah, I mean, you can mention us too, because it does help if there's correlation. The goal, like Kevin said, is like, I don't really care to get any money out of it for us. What I'm trying to do is sponsor, like, if they could sponsor or be part of it, one of the sponsors, for the event we want to do.
I would love for them to be a part of the event, but I think...
Yeah, well, the event becomes suddenly super real. Like, that solves
a lot of
more than half of the logistics issues.
Yeah, absolutely. But another thing that, like, another thing that would be a big deal for this fucking Kraken sponsorship, if we could get it, is the fact that I don't know how many people in this, like, you know, since we brought this up, have said things like, "Oh, if I could get a fucking heavy metal Kraken shirt, oh my fucking god!"
Yeah,
you know, if I could get a fucking playmat, and like, if we can get on board with them,
yeah,
if we can get on board with them, then all of a sudden things get like, you know, we right now we can't exactly give you Kraken heavy meta t-shirts or Kraken heavy meta, you know, playmats, because we aren't actually allowed to do that.
Yeah,
because
we'll get sued.
Yeah, there's the suing issue, and then KYT is going to have to deal with it, and then Maddie's going to be like, whatever, dude, do it anyway. but then KYT is going to be like, but I can't. I am not allowed to.
Hey, we have lawyers. We have lawyers in the industry.
And then, yeah, exactly. Maddie's going to be like, we have our own stable of fucking lawyers. Yeah. Yes, they're all Magic players. Scott. Yes, they are all a bunch of drunks, but we have our own stable of lawyers, and we'll handle this. Then it's going to get really weird when, like, Martin and the Booze Cube are trying to fight this case in court. So, if we can get, if we can actually get this sponsorship, then maybe we can bring you Kraken / Heavy Meta merch that you guys have been asking about. So, yeah.
Lots of things in the works.
Bug the shit out of them.
Yeah. Well, exactly. The more social pressure that we show them that we can generate, hey man, we're gonna make shit happen for real. So that's a couple of things we wanted to talk about. As far as a couple of people were asking me to just briefly touch on where 20 tickets is, well, the M15 is coming up really quick. To be truthfully told, we kind of got sidetracked by a bunch of stuff, but there is a shit ton of opportunity right now if you want to be getting into some picks, if you've still got any cash left in the 20 ticket fund, as rotation is hitting. So. Maybe next week, maybe the week after that, we'll bring on Ferret again, and he can give us some insight into where we're going. I'm kind of like debating right now, just holding off until I see what Vintage Masters is really doing, because there could be some really interesting stuff in there. But that's kind of where we're at on that one. Kevy's probably gonna win because he didn't do anything.
Yeah, I'm gonna start my account.
I honestly think his strategy's gonna win, because I got 20 tickets. Do I win? Yeah, you got the most money.
Like, at the end of all this, I'm like, oh, and lesson learned, you don't invest in Moto.
Hey, if that is the lesson, that's a good lesson to learn, right? You don't. The point of Moto isn't the
track. I'm what scientists call the control subject.
Yeah, I bought one shock land at like one tick.
Yeah, you're doing better than all of us are right now. Oh man, except for freaking Time Elemental, he's probably made 10,000.
Raping us right now. Oh, speaking of which, I want a fucking quick plug.
Speaking of rape.
Speaking of which, I want a quick plug. We have to plug this. Money Draft. Fucking Slick Jagger, Jason All, and Time Elemental. Like,
yes,
our favorite fucking people decided to start a fucking podcast. And the first episode was amazing. I fucking loved every bit of it. It was fucking awesome. I loved every bit of it except for the fact that, although when you're listening to it with two headphones on, it's kind of cool that they're recording in stereo. So you hear like this over here and this over here and this over here. But normally I listen to podcasts through one fucking earphone because I still am at work and I have to be alert as to what's going on so I don't catch anybody on fire. And all I knew was like the episode started and I heard Slick and fucking Jason talking about some shit and then a whole bunch of pauses. I was like, I was all, man, you guys really need an editor. Like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, you need to have somebody edit out all these long fucking pauses. And when I stuck the other headphone in, I was like, oh, there's JR. He's been talking this whole time, and you guys have been really quiet. I get it now. So,
no, you just listen the whole way through on one earbud, and then you listen to it again on the other earbud, and then you don't put it together, you just put them both in and listen to it again. It's like, you know, replay value is like at its peak.
Yeah, exactly. It's like super EV. You get two podcasts in one. And then you got to, like, when you listen to it the second time, you have to, like, be like, I'm going to speculate on what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah, that's an awesome show.
It is. It's fucking great. Those three are fucking perfect. Fucking Slick is literally the East Coast version of me. So if you like listening to heavy meta because you like listening to just like fucking drunk people show up every once in a while in the cast and be like, oh yeah, I think this is fucking awesome. And then leave for an hour while they talk about finance. You will love this cast because that's what Slick does. It's fucking amazing. So check them out. Money Drafts on MTG Cast.
Yeah, we gotta get them. I think KYT should make an investment and bring them over.
I think you should.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. We don't have a finance cast of Mana Deprived, because Lord God, we are not one of them.
From what I understand, it's not even a finance cast. It's just called Money Draft.
Oh, it's not even finance?
It's not even a finance cast. I mean, they talk about finance, but they talk about finance like we do. It's like, you know, we'll get into that a little bit. And then we get back into drinking and like, I mean, we're judging off their first episode, which is, you know, like, let's talk about breaking up open a unicorn pinata at GP Philly. And then let's talk about the price of this card. And then let's talk about how to build with this card. And like, it's kind of like what you get from us, except for three different people that are just as awesome as Maddie and myself and whatever guest we feel like getting on because Ferret is not here anymore. So there's only two of us.
This is true.
Uh-huh.
This is very true.
It's like heavy metal too. Like, let's be dicks and just start fucking. Let's just start fucking tweeting the shit out of it. Let's promote the hell out of their podcast, Money Draft. But let's also hashtag Heavy Metal Part 2 after it. Because they're all our friends and we want to be dicks and we want to fuck with them.
Just ruin their brand building exercise altogether. Hey, aren't you guys that new Heavy Metal show?
The Heavy Metal Part 2? Don't you already have a Heavy Metal Part 2? Like, is it?
It's the rejects that didn't make tryouts.
Heavy Metal Rejects. That's amazing. That is an amazing name for a show.
Oh my! I just need their banner just needs a picture.
Just
with
like four guys mumbling into a microphone. Oh wait, that's the real one. Fuck, I don't know what would it be.
Yeah, that's the real show. That's our show, you asshole.
My bad. I would get them mixed up.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's the heavy metal universe. You decide mix and mash your own.
Yeah. Exactly.
So let's talk real quickly about GP Portland, Kevy. So what is going down?
Oh my god!
Because this is getting close, right?
By oh my god, I mean it's going to be awesome. And by oh my god, I was trying to fucking text a fucking picture of my bachelor party to your fucking to my computer so I could put it on paper right now.
Just tweet it. Tweet it so the whole world can see.
All right, I could probably do that too. I might have done that already.
Tweet it again. Let the world see.
So, GP Portland. Yes. This is fucking retarded. I screwed up.
What has changed? What everyone wants to know.
Well, I thought I screwed up because I was like, oh, man. Like, when I started looking at my schedule earlier in the year and I couldn't make it to fucking Montreal and shit, I was like, oh, man, I really wish that I could fucking have one of these fun fucking GPs where everybody's going to be at. And then I started looking at East Coast or at West Coast ones. I was like, okay, these are the ones that I actually can be at. And there was Portland and Los Angeles. Portland is 16 hours away from me. This is three. Not even three. 2.5 if you drive like I do. And so I was like, let's all go to Portland.
Without thinking. That's so Kevy. That's you to a T, dude.
There was thinking involved, but it was completely the wrong kind of thinking. Like, the thinking involved was like, oh, okay, well, hopefully I can get some of my fucking Northwestern fucking brothers to come down, like, which worked out. I'm happy about that. But I was like, oh, man, I don't want to fucking do L.A. because nobody that I know in the goddamn magic community lives in Southern California, except for, like, Marco, fucking Jobot, fucking a couple random Twitter names.
Marcel.
Anyway, well, no, Marcel doesn't even live in Southern California. That motherfucker's 6 hours north of me. Like, that's half, or, well, not halfway to Portland, but it's fucking almost halfway to Portland. So I was like, you know what? I'd rather go up north so that, like, you know, people from Canada could come down if they wanted to. I mean, fuck, Jay Bush could get to Portland if he really wanted to, but he's not gonna because it's Jay Bush and he doesn't fucking go anywhere if he doesn't have to. And anyway, so I started yelling, hey, let's all go to fucking Portland, instead of the place that was 3 hours away from me. So at one point I started going, hey, this is probably a bad idea. Like, I probably shouldn't have picked Portland over L.A., but now I've already kind of started the ball rolling and things are happening. I was kind of worried because I was like, oh, wife's going to be pissed when I tell her I'm going to Portland. But it's all worked out for the better. So this turned out to be one of those things where it's like, oh, cool. I can actually go to Portland. I have my fucking plane ticket. Everything's going to be great. And then everybody on the fucking internet started talking about how, hell yeah, we're going to Portland. This is going to be fucking great. And now Marcel got a house and it's going to be great. And so we had this, you know, awesome little fucking SVU weekend plan. Like, we were all going to, you know, everybody that could was going to go to fucking Portland. We're going to go have a good old fucking time. Well, in the midst of all this, it's become way cooler than I thought it was going to be. Because then we start, like, after we got the house booked and we're like, all right, we're going to make this, like, the fucking, you know, the West Coast Montreal. We got to fucking do this shit. We got to get everybody together. We got to fucking do this, you know, fucking now Tangent staying in the fucking house. That motherfucker has been, like, missing in action for months and fucking Tangent staying in the house with us. We're all going to have a fucking blast. But then Arthur Halavis starts tweeting. He's like, I wish I could tell you motherfuckers how cool Portland is going to be. And I was like, really? Thank God I picked Portland instead of L.A. So then we have apparently now, like, this Portland event is going to be, like, basically what we have been talking about for a while, Maddie. Like, we have this whole, I don't know, the shit we've been talking about for,
like,
a long,
like,
time.
Like, why? Because I hear people talk about what are we doing?
Well, Helene even fucking popped back. It kind of made me laugh. Like, Helene said something. I was all, holy shit, Portland is going to be exactly what Maddie and I have been talking about for months. And then Helene tweeted back and she's just like, apparently you guys know people. it's kind of fun.
Thank you, Helene.
Yeah. But this is supposed to be like a, like, okay, you go to the fair. Remember when you go to the fair when you're a kid and you get, like, a wristband to get on all the rides kind of thing?
Yeah.
They're doing wristbands at fucking Portland. Like, they're doing wristbands where you can get into any of these side events that you want to. They're doing, like, they're making it like a magic experience, like a Gen Con sort of, like, experience, rather than, like, hey, here is the fucking, you know, here's the main event. We want you all to go fucking play in the main event.
But why would I need a wristband? Explain.
Because, like,
you pay once, you can enter multiple events?
Don't even fuck with me on the specifics right now because I haven't read them. But, like, the idea of it is exactly that. Like, you get a little fucking wristband and you can go into, like, any of the side events that you want to. Like, you
dollar off beer all weekend.
It would be awesome if they had dollar off beer. But, like, there are
Vegas.
there's a fucking website for it. It's gppdx.com. Like, PDX is the airport code for fucking Portland. But it's gppdx.com. Go to the fucking website and look at, like, the things that are fucking happening. Because they're the event has, like, extended from, it goes from Thursday to Sunday. The entire event goes from Thursday to Sunday. Not like everybody's gonna maybe get in Thursday night and then go to the event Friday morning. Like, they added Thursday too. Like, there's so many ridiculous side events going on. There's so many fucking things happening.
Now, like, have they raised the price, though?
I don't fucking remember. I don't know. Like, I know no,
you're like, I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter.
No, they raised.
Can we do it in the next cast?
I mean, they got team now. The biggest thing.
The prices of the GPs recently, but I don't know if this one actually got raised from what it normally is or not.
But well, who cares? Now,
yeah, hold, like, honestly,
it doesn't matter at that point. Who gives a shit?
Fly to another place on the planet. I don't care if my fucking GP registration went up $10. I don't give a fuck how like EV oriented you are, but like I don't give a shit.
Now, is this true that you, Slick Jagger,
and Gong and, Chua,
okay, yeah, are you actually gonna try to pull off what well, me?
We
are you doing team sealed? Because that's crazy.
Yes, we're doing team seal.
But you can't drop, man. You got to try and go for this shit, dude.
Or no, we're going to try to go for it. But, like, we're going to be team O2 drop. But, like, because we know what's going to happen. We're going to try to fucking do this. Now, as Slick said, if we register, we should get a trophy. Because we are going to be drunk the whole time. Like, it's going to be bad. The main event starts, like, Saturday morning, right? And I fly in fucking Friday at like 2 o'clock. So I'm gonna be drunk till then.
You, hey, fucker. You gotta like, try, man. Come on. You could win this shit.
M set, team sealed, my ass.
Ah, come on, man. You can battle Garrick for the win.
This is gonna be awesome is if we win this with a blood alcohol content of 0.08. Like a blood alcohol content of 0.08. Like that's the only way this is gonna work. Like, if we win this thing like that, then we can just tell everybody to fuck off. We could be that, like, average Joe's type, like, everybody could be a winner. We did it while we were hammered. And we could just offset the whole balance of the fucking Pro Tour Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like, Kevy's on camera. They have, like, the camera that shows, like, all three players on both sides. And then Kevy just fucking falls out of his chair, just fucking drunk. Just, yeah, well, yeah. Is that a forfeit? I don't really know the ruling for this, Judge.
Not be the best thing that ever happened to Magic coverage. If literally the three of us are in a feature match, we're all playing, and I fall over in my chair, the entire heavy meta SVU is going to stand up and cheer and scream, and the internet will explode with all the Twitters that are happening.
I am positive that if that ever happened, it would be the sickest thing ever.
Hmm?
Not even a question.
There's a good chance that
LSV would even make a pun about it. It'd be great.
You know what it'd be great? Hey, this is Team O2 Drop. Oh!
Yeah. And he O2 dropped out.
And it would be hilarious that right before
we
that.
We cherish this moment because
right before
lost his.
Yeah, right before that. It'd be great. Right before that, Helen just goes on for like 5 minutes about, man, these guys in the Heavy Met FU are so good. They're so responsible. They helped in all the thing, and then they cut to Kevin just passing out as he's like shuffling his cards.
No, I think even better is just like out of the blue, I pass out in my chair and then and fall over backwards. And then if Watsy could please just cut to Helene, be like, oh, I've seen that dude in his underwear. And then go right back to the match. Like, just right back to the match. Just, like, pretend it didn't happen. And then go back to watching Slick and Angelo try to play this off.
To keep their eyes open?
Like I feel like we all know it's coming. Somebody's going to fucking black out and fucking pass out at the table. But I feel like if one of us does it first, the other two are going to be like, motherfucker. Now I can't do it.
Here's the thing.
You already did it first.
I honestly believe that if the three of you is going at so heavily into the drinking, the vapor coming off your stench just sitting there, you'll probably make the opponent like drunk.
We talked about this last week on the fucking
I agree.
Cast. Like we talked about this. Like there's a good chance if they cut the cards, they're gonna get drunk. We are going to try to be as drunk as we can. Now Angelo, bless his fucking heart, it actually is, you know, wanting to do this whole thing where he's just he's brought up twice now where he says, you know, we should actually stay sober and fucking spike this.
Yes.
Shit. Nope, it's not gonna happen.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, Slick and I have both made it very, very clear that if we're gonna stay sober and spike this event, somehow you're gonna have to play for the two of us. Because
at least bring a backup handle just in case it didn't work out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm
unfamiliar with fucking Team Sealed. Can you sub in players? Can you have an alternate?
Yeah, I was like, I need to refill my drink. I'm going to tag in my bro.
No, I'm not even talking tagging in. Like, fucking, if you can have, like, an
alternate. It's called, Kevin, you know what it's called? You register another team, and you just stand there on the sidelines.
No. I want this to be, like, on paper. I want to have alternates. Like, if something fucking catastrophic happens.
I'm pretty sure, if you pass out, I don't know. That's not, you got to ask Joe the judge. So get a judge in here.
So we get, I wish I was a judge, but I'm not.
What happened with that?
Kevin's in a coma. We're bringing in Reed Duke.
I'm really still trying to become a judge, but it's hard because there
was
you have
to try harder, buddy.
I forgot everything that I learned after the basketball. But, I want to back up. I want to get Reed Duke and Tweetenwald and fucking, I don't know, fucking Zvi Mauschwitz. And I want to have them be our fucking, our backup team. But they're just our alternates so that we can fucking, if something catastrophic happens to us at the event, i.e. we are drunk and we fall over in our chairs and now we have a concussion, then they take over. But they're still Team O2 Drop. And then they just win the fucking event. And then we go down in history as the most awesome motherfuckers that ever won.
They take the group picture and your backup team is like holding up the first team.
Yeah!
Like y'all are all passed out.
They had to hold us up.
Like put the trophy in like the front of your pants just to like make it act like you're holding it. It's like, this is the team that won. They gave their heart and soul.
My stomach and fucking like somebody zooms in on the picture and they're like, oh look the trophy. Oh wait, he's got his boner taped to his stomach. That's weird. Sleep. But he's still got a boner taped to his stomach.
As he's passed out drunk pictures. Oh man! Well,
I won't circulate all over the internet and make national news. Fuck Brand of Buttholes.
Oh my God, Lord help us!
Now we just tape our dicks to our belly buttons.
Now we just tape our dicks to our shit, and we're good. I don't know why you guys keep letting me on this fucking show.
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure if.
Daddy's back, and so I was just like, I'm gonna get extra drunk tonight.
Yeah, he's like, fuck, I have no responsibility now. Let's just do this. I think the truth is, if GP Portland is a success, that like Helen's gonna just make it a mandatory thing that another GP on the West Coast is gonna take place, and there's only one, like, mm-hmm. If you guys destroy this tournament, there's only one other place that you could even do that. In the entire, like...
It's on fire right now, Maddie! Jesus Christ!
Jesus Christ! I mean, in all honesty...
Maddie, are you a carpenter because Jesus?
Are you going to San Diego because Jesus?
No, like, seriously, Matt, like, Proxy Guy said it was probably a bad idea to, you know, do the whole go fuck yourself, San Diego. San Diego is literally...
When I get back to the hotel, you better have a rocking chair made. All right, get on to it, Jesus. Bye.
Get on to it, Jesus. Bye.
Oh my Lord!
I don't even have to see you at the event. I already know how it's going to go.
I was told that we're not allowed to do the Go Fuck Yourself San Diego this week because
very well.
Is on fire. Now, I want to bring it to everybody's attention.
That's fair. That
I have been blamed for that on Twitter. Like,
well,
I don't know how many fucking...
I was just going to bring that up. Like, I'm pretty sure it was someone in the SVU that's unhappy with fucking San Diego.
No shit. Well, no.
Guys, calm down. You don't need to burn the fucking place to the ground.
I posted out something on Twitter because I was getting all sorts of hell. I didn't even know what was going on in San Diego because I don't watch the fucking news. And then all of a sudden, like on Twitter, a couple of things are just like, oh, there's black smoke all over fucking San Diego. And I was like, oh, that's probably some fucking weird random comment about a fucking heavy metal podcast. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, actually, the city is on fire. Well, not the city, like North County, San Diego, which isn't even the same thing. But like the whole goddamn place is on fire. And then everybody, like, it just floods in, like, just all, Kevy, what did you do? And I was like, oh, really? San Diego is actually on fire. And Like, oh, it's ironic that last week I gave myself the title Kevin Metal Prisoner Fire, and now now San Diego is actually on fire, and I, this is gonna
So what you're telling me is we can't say the outro, and it would be highly inappropriate for me to close with Burning Down the House by Talking Heads.
I love it. No, I think
The roof is on fire.
I feel like play Johnny Cash, man. Burn, burn, burn.
Hey, go fuck yourself, San Diego, because you know this is like you know it's a fucking Ron Burgundy quote that turned into what it is. It Will Ferrell, goddamn genius. But because San Diego's on fire, I won't leave you guys.
Tell you what,
that one.
We love you, San Diego. Stay classy.
No, fuck that. I will leave you with another fucking Will Ferrell quote. This is your fault, San Diego.
Should have brought a water hose.
Yeah. You live by the ocean. Stop.
Just jump in.
Stop burning yourself.
Stop burning. Oh, yeah. Hey, well, can I redo that? Can I just say, stop, drop, and roll, San Diego?
Okay, so look.
Actually,
this is what Kevin
Scott from Sign and Blood is just all, dude, Kevin. What the fuck? That is next door to my house. And I was just, he's all, thanks a lot, dick. And I was like, no, seriously, like, that's funny, but like, is your house in danger? And he's all, literally, he sent me a picture on Twitter. He's like, this is the next exit from my house. But it's an apartment, so I don't give a shit. Like, we have friends in San Diego. One of them is Scott from Sign and Blood, and he's like, it's an apartment, I don't give a shit. We have Marco Mondragon on Twitter. You know what I saw he was doing today?
Nope.
On Twitter?
Cooking marshmallows.
He checked in at the fucking gym. So apparently, it doesn't fucking matter, because I have a secret to let you guys all in on, because like the people in the rest of the country that are concerned about the fact that San Diego's on fire. This happens every single year. Like, Southern California, this happens. Usually it's a little further up north in fucking, like, Orange County. But every single year, it's like, oh, shit, fire watch on the news. Because there's, like, 9 wildfires happening at the same time. And they're all fucking threatening homes, and everything's fucking crazy. And this is the price you pay for living in Southern California. It happens. It's all the goddamn time. Like,
if the people in the city that's burning are okay with it and used to it, why should anybody else?
Exactly.
Throw up their arms about it. We're fine with it. They're used to it. Wow. Like living in Tornado Valley and getting mad about a tornado taking your house away.
Hey, you chose to live there.
Yeah. It's called Tornado Valley.
So I'm going to interrupt. I'm going to say to all the people that are angrily writing an email right now to us, please do not send it to me. You could send that to tappandsack@tappandsack.com, or you can send it to kevymetal@theprinceofdarkness.com.
This would be like if no, the Prince of Fire. It was my fault.
Princeofire.com. Sorry.
Tappandsack
is Gmail. Send it in. I don't care.
I'm worried about the fact that, like, when the authorities show up at my house,
I'll switch you to the spam folder. Hey, man, I bet you're desperate for some fucking emails, man. I just want to talk to people. Send me your emails.
Talk to
man.
Oh, shit.
I don't get, like, 200 a week, but we get 10. I'm happy with it. We exist.
I'm just kidding with you.
We don't get 200 a week either. Maddie just emails me once a week. That's it. Like, that's all the fan mail we get. I get fucking, like, once a week, Maddie's just all, man, you did a good job. And I was like, oh, man, thanks. You did too. And that's the fan mail that we get back and forth.
No, you know what? No, it's true. We do get quite a few. We probably get 5 or 6 a week.
it's insane.
I think it's getting a little bit out of control, because now people are trying to just go over the top. Some of them I can't even read. They're just...
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
They're causing. If I read them, I will start hell, and I'm like, you're not, guys. You could write real stories. Ever.
They're always like great stories and like.
Well, those are good. I read those.
We don't really get hate. It's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, we do.
Which is, yeah, it's not hate. It's just jihadist.
I guess we're doing it wrong.
Jihadist literature that they keep sending.
It's not like, luckily we don't have a bunch of like actual hate. Like we get a little bit of hate, but not a whole bunch.
Only from midgets.
I feel like with the content that we produce, like we should get a lot more hate mail than we do.
We should. Our hate level is not accurate.
And I think what it is like the like while we're screaming like, go fuck your mother, cunt. Like, at the same time, like,
we're
promoting, like, everybody being good people to each other. And so they're like,
that's the secret right now. If anyone wants to know, all you have to do is just say, man, you guys are the best. And then whatever expletive you want.
Your mother can eat her own asshole. And then, but. Hey, you guys, go out and fucking take care of the person next to you because that's the fucking right thing to do.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh, they're fucking so sweet.
Get
like,
some shoestrings to hum with people and feel better about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Feel better about yourself.
Well, gentlemen, this has been...
this has been ridiculous.
This has been
a podcast.
It's been a podcast.
Houston put it best. This has been a podcast.
Yeah, for factual scientific basis, this was an episode of a podcast. It was it was enlightening to be sure. You know what someone said to me? They actually told me, they're like, is your new clothes off line? Well, gentlemen, this has been enlightening. And I'm like, no, I barely say that. And then they're like, yes, you have. And they cite every episode where I've said that as the music is fading out. Well, gentlemen, this has been enlightening.
Oh, God damn it. Like, I didn't even mean to do that.
But I'm like, that's actually hilarious because they're like, do you know you're saying that? I'm like, I didn't even think I said that. And they're like, it's hilarious because you'll say that right before you talk about penises or vagina holes or bleaching your asshole or something retardedly stupid. And you're like, well, this was enlightening.
Well, yes, so, it's
one of those things.
I think that's kind of your, like, all, I'm not sure.
Yes.
This has been enlightening. Usually it's after I say a bunch of retarded shit, whether it, like, makes sense or not. Then you're like, well, I guess this is the best way I can fucking leave this fucking bucket.
To explain it in layman's terms, it's like standing in front of a hole in the fence and you don't know if construction is going on the other side or there's a whore. That's really what it is. And
no
sometimes
idea.
Sometimes it's enlightening. Sometimes it's painful.
Sometimes it's painful.
Sometimes
and if
it's
they
a
don't
whore.
Say and if you don't
and
say,
then sometimes there's just a whore and you just do what you do.
Sometimes it's a midget walking by and you hit him in the ear hole. I don't know. I'm just saying it happens.
Oh, fuck.
Wait.
Maddie.
It happens?
Maddie. Oh, my God. I just had a thought. You need to make the closing music fucking Bloodhound Gang, man. Burn, motherfucker. Burn.
No.
We don't need the water. Let this motherfucker.
Oh no, I can't. We'll get really serious.
No,
we'll end up on CNN. This fucking podcast hates San Diego. What's up with
that? Fine, free publicity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. A pretty good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Bat.
There's man, no they just hired Miley Cyrus as promotional director.
Exactly. I will dress like that, and I will fucking twerk on fucking a dude in a striped suit. I don't give a shit. Like, if it gets our name out there, I don't give a fuck.
You would do it if it didn't.
You would do it at GB Portland for a fucking shot of Jack Daniels. What are you talking about?
There's a good chance.
And a crusty half bagel.
Maddie, there's a good chance if you were to financially support the wardrobe, I would wear fucking little sweatsuit jammies, and then I would twerk all over Marcel in a fucking black and white striped fucking suit. If you buy them,
like at a Goodwill, we can make that happen.
How much do I have to pay Marcel to stand there? That's the real
cost. I'll be all about it. That motherfucker would stand there. And he would just be Robin Thicke, and he'd just be like, "Oh yeah, motherfucker!" And he'd just get down. Like I'm sure Marcel would cut his hair and look like Robin Thicke. He'd just be like, "Fuck it, I got this." He wears black and white fucking suit, and I would wear some little girly pajamas, and I would twerk all over that motherfucker with a big foam finger on my hand. And then we
and then you don't say that and then you say and then
Yeah, that's not enough.
That's just me warming up.
Yeah, and then that's how we make podcast history.
I'm sure that's drinking. How we make something, but I doubt it's history.
That makes a lot of people buying Heavy Meta and Brainstorm Brewery shirts from the booth.
Oh, man.
Maddie, have you got your SVU fucking DCI card yet?
I did, yeah. I got an awesome black on gray one.
I printed mine out, and I realized, like, this is the reason that I don't fucking use technology. Like, I was all, yeah, all right, fucking, I got my shit. I'm going to print it out. And I was like,
why is
I'm
it a triangle?
No. It was, like, I printed out a fucking piece of, like, I actually used my printer like a normal fucking person. And I was like, oh, cool. It's on a piece of paper. Now what? And I was like, no, I want to make this better. And then I was all hammer drunk. And I got this great idea where I fucking blanked a fucking AVR foil, because from what I remembered everybody saying, those are fucking cool to blank because you just acetone them. And now it's just a fucking magic card back with a foil front. And that's it. And I was like, all right, sweet. So I did that. And I tried to stick it in my printer a bunch of different times in a bunch of different ways and change a bunch of settings, and it didn't fucking work. So then my last resort was I just printed one out. I was like, okay, that's where it's going to print it, and it's the right size. Now I'm going to tape this thing to the fucking paper and stick the paper back in the fucking printer. Yeah, it didn't work out well. It printed it on the fucking thing. It was neat, except for the ink never dried, ever. Like 4 days later, the ink never dried. And it looked like shit in the first place. It looked like water down a duck's back. Like, it's just fucking, it was all beaded up and shitty. But, like, it just didn't ever fucking dry. And I wrecked our printer at the same time.
So making your SBU card cost you $100 and it broke the printer.
No, fuck that. It didn't cost me $100. It cost my fucking fiance $100. It's her printer.
Oh, and she's trying to graduate nice.
I had to dig out a piece of tape and an index card, because on my way to the fucking like foil proxy thing I was going to do, there was an index card, and then there was also the whole taping into the paper thing, which took like 2-3 times to get it to work and then not work anyway. And so I had to dig a piece of tape and a fucking index card out of the fucking printer so that she could print out her fucking like tables that she needed to do for like trigonometry final. And I was like, oh baby, I don't know what's wrong with the printer. It's weird. It's not working. Oh, look at me. I'm the hero. I got it fixed. Yeah, it's because I knew that there was fucked up shit in the printer. But regardless, don't try to tape magic cards to a piece of paper and print proxies on them, because it doesn't fucking work. I actually need somebody.
I bet you answered a lot of people's questions with that. Yeah. That was quite enlightening.
Actually help.
I hope you haven't, because that really makes our audience lower in this, in the mental department if they're doing shit like that. Please tell me no one has done that.
What are you trying to say, Maddie?
Hey, man, I'm not
look
saying
at me,
anything.
Look at me sharing life experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. No shit. Oh, man, I remember when I was trying to tape fucking cards to paper and then print
them. You know what's funny?
You don't do that.
I don't know if you're conscious, Lee, doing this episode, but we don't have a promotional contract with Scotch Tape. But you have mentioned taping your penis to your leg, your fucking stomach, taping cards. You're dropping tape references.
But just give them this as a reference.
Okay.
Just be like, give them just this episode. And let's try to get a fucking sponsorship from Scotch Tape, because fuck it. We're going to fucking take this machine and we're going to run it through everybody's ass. Like, we're going to...
marketing. One episode we talked about using Scotch Tape to, you know, tape our penis to our belly button. You want to sponsor us? Yeah, that would go great.
Oh, yeah. No, but like, the penis to the belly button. It was also... don't run it through your printer.
Hey, that's two useful tips for your product. I'm saying is this.
And how not... I could give a fucking tutorial for fucking Scotch Tape right now.
Hey, if you're trying to reach an audience that you can't, that you feel I can't reach, the the 11 to 21 year old male audience.
Magic player, because this is really the demographic we've been looking for a while.
Magic players don't buy enough tape.
Middle-aged, alcoholic, degenerate magic player. Like, we could really hit the market if we fucking sponsor these.
Do you like wearing sweatpants? Do you not like having a boner in the middle of your high school class? I have a product for you. Scotch fucking tape.
No, it can't. No, it has to be an actual, like, brand. Like, it's Dick Tape. You know, it's like... Do you have Dick Tape? Yeah, I got Dick Tape. You need some? What color you want? Oh, I got the three newest colors. We got flesh tone for our white brothers. We got black, right? And then we got like a yellow.
Brown, but we call it black.
Yeah. Can this episode please be called Dick Tape of Krupix?
Oh my god, Dick Tape is amazing. Like, it's... all I'm just saying is, it's so catchy.
Bangers, but they're bigger. Fucking
up. So it's sort of like a ginger version.
Your heart, you really shoot your shot. You're not.